I'd like to welcome everybody to our board meeting. And do I have any volunteer to say a prayer this morning?
Major.
Yes, Linda.
My legal.
You're fine to say a prayer.
Father in heaven, we're grateful for this opportunity to meet together on this Saturday for this board meeting to reduce resources to create a balance. Bless this association, every member will function well. The members of the board will seek and do those things that are that will bring benefit to the ranch and to the members of the ranch. We ask for thy spirit to be here to guide and direct, and that those things that are meant to be accomplished will be accomplished. The membership and those involved. We pray for thy blessings on this meeting and ask thy prayers for us to come in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Linda. Secretary, we'll do our roll call now. And everyone is here except for John, and we have Jody on the phone. And as far as other visitors, we have Vance on the phone, and then we have Linda Alderman. Go ahead and identify yourself out there, I guess.
Fanny Bogan.
I can't remember you.
Linda Tammy Hunt.
Okay.
I did hear the other one.
Tammy Hunt.
The first one. One between Candy.
Just one.
Hearing aids only work so far.
All right. Very good.
We have a special guest on teleconference who hasn't announced himself.
All right. Who's that?
Well, Brent is dialed in, but I don't know if he's not on mute right now or what.
Brent, are you there?
I'm here, but I don't know how well I'll be here if I'll be here very long. I can't hear you guys very well.
Well, before we lose you, Brent, can you tell us when you're planning on coming back to the ranch?
I will be back on the ranch on the 16th of March.
Okay, thanks. Okay. We'll proceed to our agenda. I'm going to make one modification to the agenda as far as order. Instead of Jody's part being down at number 6, as I talk to her, I think it'll be clear for us to have her report right after item number 2. So we will move Jody up that way. So, you all had, let's go work through these minutes. We're to approve the October and November board meeting minutes. I might say, I think we can't approve them. They need to be, the September minutes need to be approved at the annual meeting.
Right.
But I would like to call for, just a confirmation that to this point that the board feels like they are in order as best we can have them. Any feelings on those September minutes of you as you've reviewed them?
Look fine to me.
Good to me too.
I thought they looked pretty good. Liz, Linda?
There should be 2 sets of minutes for September, 1 for the annual meeting, 1 for the board meeting. At the board meeting, you can approve if it's meeting. The annual meeting.
Right. And I didn't see the little meeting.
The only thing we really had was an executive council, which we wouldn't report in minutes for after the annual meeting.
That's true. We didn't really conduct a regular board meeting. Thanks, right. Barry. Okay, so we'll put that aside then. That's the September one as agreeable to the board to present at the next annual meeting to be approved by the membership.
For the
September.
Yeah, I had a question on number 7 on that. One little question.
Okay, let's hear your question.
On the next to the last sentence, it says cattle guards were installed. I think that was canceled, but I think they were installed. I think that cattle guard was going to go by the Red Reservoir. I don't think we ever installed.
Are you in September's meeting? Because number seven doesn't say that.
That's September on top of mine.
That's referring to the cattle guard that was installed just below the...
was cleaned. There was a cattle guard that was pulled and cleaned and rebuilt.
It wasn't a new install. It was taken out, all dug in that
hollow.
My mistake. I thought it was the one was that they were going to install one by the Red Reservoir. They put the concrete blocks there.
That has not been.
And it was canceled. So I thought that was that one, but it's not. Okay. Then we're good.
Okay. So moving on to the October minutes. If I had a few questions, if you look at item number 10, the last couple of sentences there, the fence between Deer Springs Point and Broad Hollow needs to be repaired. Okay, the grass in Broad Hollow was discussed, and then the rabbit brush in the well field was discussed. My question is, were there any conclusions that were made?
Yeah. Actually, November and October could be switched to more accurately reflect the things that we talked about. Kevin Heaton had toured the ranch at that point, who is our local county extension agent.
Uh-huh.
And so it doesn't indicate that he's been actually physically been out there. But we did a tour with Kevin Heaton, our county extension agent, in October. In November, we did the tour with the natural resource agent and established a management plan for the ranch. And we also have applied.
Wait a minute. So just keeping going, let's concentrate just on these minutes for October then. And then you can. So how should those be? What should
those
be amended?
If we select November.
No, we're not.
Paragraph and slide it in there and move October's. It would actually be a more actual reflection of the things that we discussed
at this October meeting.
Yeah, this was kind of a preliminary, which gives people or members a better understanding of what we're trying to do agriculturally.
Okay, so where in I'm looking now at the November meeting minutes. Where are you? You have your copy?
Yeah.
Which paragraph are you talking about?
Paragraph 7.
Okay.
The very bottom.
There again.
Bottom paragraph of the end. In number 7, bottom paragraph, County Extension Service Kevin Heaton toured the ranch. We should suggested range management plan, feed fencing, rabbit brush, herbicides, and fencing were discussed. Pretty accurately reflects what happened in October.
Are you just saying then that in the board meeting, you're reporting that Kevin Heaton discuss these things with you, but so did we discuss these things in the board meeting
in October?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
And see what I'm getting at, the minutes to me are almost a little too outliney and not really just recording what
substance.
And I've written in here, they were discussed, but what did you decide? Did you decide anything? Or is it just a general discussion? No, if it's just a discussion, it should say no resolutions or whatever made at this time.
We got lots of resolutions. Do you want me to rewrite that and we'll just submit it at the next board meeting to approve that?
Yeah. So if you would, when you say discussed, I need to know. Discussed generally, you could say, or discussed and a decision was
over with a general discussion. There were that's accurate for October. We could put that. The name is Orton, not Warburton or whatever that is. Zach.
All right. Well, then, will you change that item number 10 then for us? Are you? Wait a minute. Are you secretary?
I'm not. Yes, Jeff.
Yes.
Okay, Jeff, do you understand what needs to be done to clarify
yeah.
that?
And to clarify, in October, it was just a general report from Brad of what was going to happen, what had happened, but there were no specific things that were done, like
was
fixed.
In the minutes, then, will you reflect the fact that if we say we discussed something, will you then say a general discussion was, but no...
no conclusions.
No conclusions, or I can't think of the word I want to make. When I take want somebody
action
to make
items.
Vote.
Action items.
An action item, or
there was no vote taken. No action.
Okay. No motion. No motion was made, or no decision was made. Okay. We just need. I just need to know that.
So, if you would change October minutes to reflect Zach Orton is the natural resource officer who we were going to take action to. And that Kevin Heaton, the county extension agency, came out and had eyes on the ranch. We're not just talking on the phone about the ranch, but came out and did a tour of the ranch. With those two changes, then, I'm great with October.
I am too. That's the only area that I have concerns for. Just needed to know. I can't remember. Okay, so I think we're going to have another board meeting rather soon here. Let's put that off. You make those changes and we'll approve it. October is in the next board meeting. November, I have the same, let's see. In November, I was, oh no, yeah, Barry and, Barry Clarkson presented the water, this is on number six, water right application form and discussed the process. Did we make a motion to accept that or not?
There's really no decision to be made.
No decision to be made?
I put together a form.
Yes.
Obviously, if you feel like that we need to accept or reject the form, then that would be fine.
Well, I think we probably at the time thought it was good, is what I think, but we didn't say that. You just presented a form and we discussed the process.
I don't know. I guess it's a difference of how you feel about it. I'm not sure that the board needs to approve every form, because at the end of the day, the form being submitted, you're going to make the final decision on whether the water right transfer is approved or not. I'm just giving.
But this is a form we're giving to all the membership.
Yeah, but it's just guidelines. It's just, hey, this is the information we need to make a decision. I mean, I'm perfectly fine on having a vote and accepting or rejecting the form if that addresses concerns. But the form is really.
Because it becomes an official form of DSROA, so.
And if so, we did not take a vote on it.
Okay. I don't recall any objections to the form, does anybody?
No, I don't think there were.
Then I would propose that we just make it official by accepting that form today.
I second that.
All in favor? Okay.
Aye.
And then where there was no conclusions, never.
Nothing from them.
Oh. Jody, how do you hear that? You hear that?
Yeah, I agree.
Jody?
Yes, I agree.
All right, so it's a unanimous without John here. Agree. Number seven, again, the same phrases in October, rabbit brush, herbicide and fences were discussed.
We don't have a plan in November, so that's going to need to be changed if you want an actual reflection of what we talked about.
Yeah.
Because we have a plan. We've already...
We have a plan now. Did we have a plan then?
Well, in October, we kind of was working toward a plan. We're developing a plan. And
yeah, but in November?
We have a plan. We've applied for grants through Doug Hunt, up to $40,000 that will be compensated to the ranch with them covering, depending on what item that we're attacking on our management plan. But we have an additional $40,000 possible revenue coming toward the ranch to do improvements on our ranch, which would be a share cost, with them bearing the greatest burden of the share of the portion of, funds to be allocated to us to make improvements.
But as I recall for your meeting minutes, I don't think we had a formal vote.
There was, yeah, there was no plan presented to the board, basic discussion of what was going to be in the plan. The plan has not shown up at anyone's desk yet, so there was no motion taken.
So that's what we need.
Well, there kind of was a plan. I passed out the general information plan showing you the all the areas targeted on the ranch.
This was in November?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I remember we saw the cost of the difference.
I wasn't there, so.
How much money that they would. Too much junk in there, man.
I guess the reason I might be a little sensitive to this issue is because of the lack of this kind of detail in minutes when it came to an agreement I had with the road committee and the board to improve my Crawford. And then subsequent boards came about and there was no actual documentation of this kind of stuff. And so
we wanted.
By the way, I was really crammed down on what was given back to me in return, and it's because we can't just talk about it and think, oh, then it's all approved. We've got to have actual approval and stuff in the minutes. It's better for you in the long run. Better for everybody.
Yeah, we didn't have a formal vote, and is that something you were going to discuss a little bit today?
Not necessarily. Until we actually get funded for that, then it's still pie in the sky because we have to be ranked and qualified in order to.
That was my understanding. We were still waiting on
it. It's still pie in the sky. However, all the T's have been crossed and all the I's dotted, and it's in motion for us to be funded for those things. We could be funded for it, and we don't have to accept or use any of that.
Okay, that when it comes back in the minutes, I'll have you. We need to look at the consensus then that what's been the pie in the sky, whatever's been proposed, that that's acceptable.
And that so we probably need to rewrite that paragraph under agriculture, and so we could show the plans that we're moving forward on.
In my materials from that meeting, I don't have any of that information, that handout you had there, and that map, I don't remember seeing that. So at the meeting, what I wrote is that it was discussed and you told us high level. If you handed that out, I apologize, I don't have it in my documentation.
I don't think I handed it out. I just kind of passed it around for everybody to look at.
Okay. Well, so it was just a discussion.
So it was discussed, but there again, just add, but no... no accepting vote or
but this doesn't have anything to do with Kevin Heaton, and he's in our minutes. The range management plan has now moved past the county and went to NRCS with Zach Orton, and he came out and has written up a management plan for our ranch to improve following things in following areas.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
NRCS meaning that, what's the acronym?
What's RCS mean?
NRCS, Natural Resources Conservation Services.
Great. We appreciate your expertise in dealing with those people and scaring all this stuff up. This is great.
I'm learning as we go. That's why I'm getting these really guys great. Who know what they're doing out there to tell us what to do.
I'm going to ask just one other question while I'm on the minutes. It says copies of B&E leases need to be provided to the ranch secretary. Do you have contact info for both of the beekeepers?
I do not. I can look back through our folders, but I don't believe that it's up to date with the newest beekeepers that we have.
Anybody have a knowledge as to how we can get that
do
contact
we have
info?
Contact information from our most recent beekeepers. The last I saw, the names didn't coordinate, so either
changed
names.
I think I have their list somewhere.
No, you said new. I thought we were just dealing with the same two people we did last year.
We are.
Okay, I've got different names.
Oh, there are different names then?
change your company name?
Yeah, so we need. So if that's the case, I probably have some. It would be worthwhile to update it.
Okay.
And as far as,
I might be able to talk to Alan Marion about the polygamist one. I'm sure he would know their name and contact info. So I'll do that one for you.
Okay.
Lonnie Stewart.
That was Lonnie. Yeah, Lonnie Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Brinkerhoff, wasn't it?
Yeah. Rob Brinkerhoff.
Rob Brinkerhoff.
These are two separate entities.
Yes. The Brinker, you call Paul Brake and he'll know the number and contact info for Brinkerhoff.
I will do that.
Brinkerhoff.
Rob Brinkerhoff, you said?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Rob. Was it Rob?
I think it was Rob. He lives in Johnson Canyon, as I understand it.
Yes,
he does. Brad, I thought you had their information.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, with that then.
I'm sorry, may I ask one more question?
Yes.
Do we employ both? They both have. Okay, so I need contact information for both.
And
they're the locations, and they both know where each other were, so they wouldn't intermingle.
Because in these minutes you talked about copies of B leases need to be provided to ranch secretary. So B leases, I don't know if that's our whatever, what's the... We should have a contract or an understanding with both of these. Now, are we just leaving them up to say what they will do?
We reviewed a contract last time and suggested it be cut down. We'll review it today for.
Okay.
I've not read the whole thing, but I'm highlighting where I agree and looks good.
Okay, so we'll discuss that later. I just wanted to make sure.
But in reality, this contract has not been actually put into place with either of the BUs.
No, it's just
this was proposed at the last meeting.
Yeah.
It needs to be modified and then provided to the two entities, signed and provided to you, Brian.
Correct.
Okay, so I will not be pursuing those signatures. I will be receiving that information for record keeping.
Yeah,
well, we'll discuss who pursues the signatures.
First one was 4 pages long. This one's only 2.
Right.
Okay. Very good. Thank you all. Let's now we're going to turn the time over to, as I said in the beginning, to
Bill
Cody. Oh yes, Vance.
Can I make one?
Okay.
Before we leave the subject, I'm sorry, Jody. I know I'm walking on you. Can I make just 2 quick points about before we leave the subject of minutes?
Okay.
We got involved in a discussion that was headed in the direction of posting clearly marked provisional annual meeting minutes, you know, and not waiting for a whole year. That never happened. And I still think it's a really good idea given that our audio was so hard to listen to this year.
I think that is a good idea. Any rest of the board members, any? You know that?
I would suggest that we post immediate, as fast as possible, the unapproved minutes, and then post them approved when they become approved, so they're still unapproved, at least the general membership can keep up with what's going on at the ranch, and then make comments accordingly.
Yeah, we could call it the board has approved the tentative minutes. They have not been ratified by the membership. Here they are.
I agree with Jeff. If we post minutes that are unapproved, and this clown over here reads it, then the next board meeting, he goes, who said this?
That's why we have to stipulate.
That's why I think it's almost got to be approved, or someone's going to get in a legal argument on which one is the legal one.
We can add at the end, these minutes need to be amended. This is just a preliminary reporting, and it may not be accurate. Or we can say to the members, are the minutes.
As we highlight, all the things he approves.
I think that's it. We have to make sure it can be approved by the full membership. This is where the board has screened these to be presented September. Should you have objections, it's not at the board. Or should you have a
in that a
comment
is yellow? What? There is no mistake.
Just a watermark tentative right on the page on each page.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, you said
There was also a term that I had.
Don't you want to talk to us?
No.
Well, I have one more point whenever you guys are done with this particular portion of the minute.
And then tell us, Ben.
Whatever meetings we decide to post on the page, they may be given to the board for review. When that is approved, they should go to be posted on the web as unapproved or unsatisfied or whatever you call it. But the board has a chance at least to do something like today. Oh, you got the name of so and so. Before that happens, requires the discussion was actually an email from a member said, okay, where are the minutes? They're not out there. And so we just decided, well, we could have it within 2 weeks. So that requires that the minutes be transcribed within a week to the board, and then there has to be a trustee board member in that next week, yes, approved, then sent to be posted on the web. There's going to be some time the board has to respond before it goes to the band.
Well, that's a problem because you saw how we had this discussion back and forth a little bit. That's why heretofore the tradition has been we wait till the next board meeting and we send you back corrections. We're talking through the month. So I don't know that we can satisfy a member wanting it within a week or 2 weeks.
Well, it's going to require each of us to take more time to review in that period of time. And I think we err on the side of making sure that they're more correct than more quick. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
If we were to send something out that's incorrect, yes, then we have some issues. I think if it takes from one board meeting to the next, as far as board meeting minutes,
yeah,
that's reasonable. I don't know of any board that I'm on where we review or approved minutes between the next one and those are either monthly or quarterly. The annual meeting minutes, I think we do need to post something that says provisional or unapproved just so people can see it sooner. A year later, we've all forgotten what the details of what happened. So
I think Barry just summed it up very nicely, yeah, and I would like to take a vote of approval on Barry's Larry's conclusion. All in favor?
Aye.
Jody?
Well, I have a question before I can make an answer on that. Should we revert or can I ask the question now?
Go ahead. We'll have your discussion, yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting till you guys quit because it was really choppy there for me. You know, 1 month is okay to wait for the board meeting. I really have an issue with when we skip a meeting and we have 2 months in between. Quite frankly, my memory does not hold it longer than the first month. I'm lucky to remember it the first month. So if we're waiting 2 months to do this, by the time I get the minutes at that point, I don't remember if it's correct or not. So I don't know if I'm going to be adequately able to approve or not approve. But I think within 30 days, we know that and we can approve it based on what we remember, but 2 months is a long time, and especially for the members to wait to know what's going on, especially if they're interested in a particular topic that we're covering. That's my input.
I think your question has to do with the mechanics of it, and the fact that we don't meet monthly, we're not going to be changing that.
I would say as long as we're not meeting, if we don't meet monthly, that still follows his guideline, except the time that we're going to have them this month, that we all deliberately get together and approve them, period.
I can say, well, and if we do that,
we have 60 days.
I don't want to belabor the discussion, but I think we as a board need to have contact with each other monthly. Even when we don't have a meeting, we need to have a conference call for half an hour, and we can approve meeting minutes and a couple, especially during this hiring process and other things. It really, I think, hurt us not to be able to get together. So I don't necessarily say we need to have a meeting every month, but I agree with Jody. It's difficult after 2 months to remember, and we need to go through the process. And I think one way to do that is simply send out the draft and we approve it by email. The other would be to have a conference call for half an hour or something with as many of us as can be on those missed months so that we can discuss the meeting minutes and any other hot issues that have come up.
Agreed.
The only problem I have with that, and it's not a problem with me, is by the bylaws of the Utah state laws, you can't have 100% vote by email. You have to have 100% by email or by phone, and I don't want that to slow us down.
I think with the minutes will work for
with the meeting minutes. You're either gonna vote to approve or vote to not approve, and then we'll have a discussion when we have the next meeting. The idea is just getting them out during that off month, and if we don't have a unanimous vote on the approval of the meeting minutes, I don't know that just means those meetings minutes go unapproved until the next meeting. But they've been posted. So.
The votes we make by phone or email will be for posting, not for finalization.
Well, no, next meeting.
If there's a month in between.
No, there. By email, we're going to or a conference call. We'll approve them within.
But that has to be 100%.
30 days.
I don't want to break the state law.
You're supposed to have unanimous written consent if you don't have a meeting, but a meeting can be held by conference call. That we're having one right now. Jody's here present.
Yeah.
So if we have a conference call, it's not been expanded necessarily to email, but a conference call solves that.
So if we can agree 100% on email, fine. If we can't, then we have to call for a conference call.
I agree.
And that way it just moves forward. We don't have to wait, and it satisfies the concerns of members and also allows us to touch base a little bit. So,
Barry, you want to restate then your motion? We'll make this a motion.
I move that we have the meeting minutes for each board meeting prepared and sent out to be approved on a monthly basis, whether we have a board meeting or not, and that approval may be through a conference call or by unanimous approval through email. And the annual meeting minutes will be sent out as quickly as possible following the annual meeting and be marked as unapproved, but to be posted on the website so that people can see them. I think I got everything in there.
That was great. I agree.
I'll second that.
Joe seconds that, and all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Jody?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
I think Vance.
Okay, Vance, you had something else. We hope we didn't stall you too long here.
Well, that's okay. You're getting there. You're getting there. One more point. We have not posted any minutes since last August. No written minutes since last August. Is there any way at all you guys can? You can do it in an executive session or offline. I don't care. Can you take the few changes that you talked over this morning on the 3 months that you've got and get them approved today? Because you're going to get really busy with hiring, and if this gets shuffled off to yet another meeting, well, you know where I'm going.
I think what we'll do is we'll revert back to what we just voted on, and we'll ask Jeff to mail us. I don't think you're not going to get them today. We'll revert back to Jeff, and he'll send them to us. And within a week, let's set a goal as a board. Within a week, we'll approve these few little changes.
Excellent. That's fine.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One more thing. Okay. I want to restate the process that goes on with minutes so nobody is concerned that unposted minutes or unofficial anything is getting on there. I do not post anything unless they are marked as such as postable and final or postable but not final. I've got copies of all this stuff you guys are discussing, but I'm just using it as materials for the discussion. It does not go on the website. So I guess the reason I'm bringing that up is in the past, sometimes it's been assumed that I knew what the final minutes were just from listening to meetings, and I assure you, I do not.
Okay, we'll try to clarify that through Mariah.
Shouldn't it be the board member responsible for communication that gets that to Vance, which would be me?
Well, are you always the one that sends it to him?
I I would.
Or did you send it to Mariah? She sends it to her. You just sent it to her.
I just did post the agenda. That's the only thing that I've posted this term.
She can be the kettle drop.
If you're going to want that responsibility, that's fine.
It's inherent in that role.
Yeah, I think that's part of being the secretary.
I agree.
For what it's worth,
sometimes we'll make the distinction between a business secretary and the secretary of the board.
Correct.
Right. So that is its function of the secretary of the board. So it's on you, Jim.
Got it.
Okay.
So, Vance, if it doesn't come from me, don't post it.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay, that is a good
question. If I get anything I have a question about, I don't post it until I – like, you know, crack some heads and find out what's going on.
Okay. And look to or email or question Jeff. Okay. Jody, let's move on to our item three.
Okay. And Vance, you just brought up a good point. That's why my head's hurt so bad, because you keep cracking my head, man. All right. On to the financials. Got a lot of disgust here, and if you can't hear me, let me know, and I'll stop. Just interject, and I'll go slower. Currently, we have approximately $105,000 in the combined checking accounts and approximately $2,500 in our savings. Up to date right now, we've received $87,000 of the 2017 assessments, which is about 64% of what we budgeted to come in. That's a good start. Okay, if you all have a copy of the P&L for 2016.
That would be the three pages. So it would be the
three pages.
Yeah.
I want to do a recap of that to let you know how we fared through the year. If you'll notice...
Not this one.
Yes, they go hand in hand. This is our budget versus actual. She's looking at this one.
You're looking not at the budget versus actual, but at the profit and loss for the year. Okay.
Well, it's a profit and loss budget versus actual. Do you guys have a copy of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Might have to
okay.
be shared.
I don't have to.
Here, we'll share this one again. Yeah. Okay, Jody, we're a little better organized. Go ahead.
Pass one out.
Okay. So to recap 2016, we'll notice that the total assessments we received was about $2,000 short of what we budgeted for, but the total income for 2016 was about $10,000 over, and that was mainly due to the increase of the cabin reservations and the pay-for-play paid by the members. The reservation fee income brought in $6,200 above what we budgeted for, so that's great. That's great for income. The auto expenses ran over by about $4,000. The fuel expenses were under by about $2,600, which was great. The total buildings, facilities, and equipment was over by about $8,000. But,
Jody,
yes.
Jody, let me pause and let me hand out this other thing, because you're going right down the list of this thing you sent me, and I decided to copy it.
Okay.
I thought it would be better. So she's going right down this list.
Basically, I'm just going through the great goods and some of the ones that we maybe need to watch a little bit more this year, but we did good.
Hang on. Did I?
Okay.
Just 1 second. There you go. That's it. Okay, we're back with you again.
Okay. So we talked about the reservation fees being over, the auto expenses, which is a good thing. We had more income than we expected. The auto expenses ran over by about $4,000, but the fuel expenses were down by $2,600. That could be because we didn't have ranch managers through the rest of the season, which, okay, well, we saved some money there. The total building... facilities and equipment was over by about $8,000. And then the office supplies were over about $1,900 due to the purchase of a new laptop and a phone upgrade. Those were the big ticket items on that category. Postage was a little bit over due to the extra mailer we sent out around election time. And we saved about $3,000 on the roads by what we budgeted for by doing the work in-house with the new backhoe. So all in all, we did really good for the year. Now, if you look at the bottom line on the profit loss statement, it shows we have a negative income of $9,655. Well, this has been concerning Mariah and me and Linda for about, oh, I don't know, 3 months now, trying to find the error or lost data from when the laptop crashed, and actually didn't figure out till yesterday when going through the numbers again that although we physically transferred the $23,500 from our savings account into our checking account to pay for the backhoe, the $23,500 never got put into QuickBooks as an income, therefore showing that that $23,000 came out of our regular income, which we never allotted for. So adding that figure back in, we ended the year with about a $14,000 credit in the bank. Positive about $14,408 for our bottom line. And we did actually end the year with $16,000 plus in our checking account, another $1,450 in the Ranch Manor account. So we have about $17,450 to roll over into the new year. Now, don't y'all start beating me now for wanting to buy that dump truck and saying we didn't have the money, because at this time I'm still freaking out over the $9,000 or whatever we were in the hole at that time, which was making me very nervous and wanting to watch the spending. But we do, because of finding that error in the accounting, we did end up, number one, with money in the bank, the $16,000 plus in the bank, and the books will show about $14,000 plus in the black as soon as we go back in and correct that. And also with the profit loss, this will not be the final one for 2016. Mariah and I have a couple more corrections to make in between the categories, and we'll have that done by next month. So we ended the year really good, and we're working on the new P&L for 2017, which we'll talk about in a minute. But since we ended up having that extra income or surplus at the end of the year, I was going to make a motion to transfer $15,000 into our savings account from last year, or it can be any amount you want. I just think we need to get the bulk of it over into our savings account. So I was going to make a motion that we transfer the $15,000 over.
Jody?
Yes.
Jody? Make that motion. Let me interject just a quick discussion here. So
okay.
I heard you say 14,000 something, then I heard you say 16,000 something, but actually then I heard you say actually we have 17,450 some odd dollars.
Yes. 17,450 from last year. Yes.
Okay. Now so the discussion I want to have on what your tentative motion is so she's so we had more money than we thought. It's too bad we passed up that one, that dump truck, but there'll be another. She's
yes.
talking about moving 15,000 of the 17,450 into our savings account. I'm wondering why we don't just move all of it, 17,450, just. And so that we're operating on this year's funds and this year's budget and all of that. And then we can decide what to do with that money, whether it's dump truck or to supplement maybe the fencing project that we have to do that we haven't done or whatever it is. That's my discussion. Any other discussion from or questions you guys have for Jody on that?
I don't know why you wouldn't just set aside last year's surplus.
Put it in
function on this year. It's not like it's disappearing. We can always pull it back if we absolutely need to, but let's function on this year's budget with this year's money and see how we end up.
That's my feeling.
Yep.
Is that your feeling?
Yes.
That's everybody's feeling here, Jody, that we function on this year's budget with what we're collecting and doing, and that we, if it is truly $17,450, that we put that all in that savings account. Do you want to argue with us or tell us that we're silly here or that we shouldn't, or what are you, what do you think?
No, my reason was I know that we'll be ending up spending because there are so many things that we do need. I was just taking an even amount, like even dollar amounts. So I'm fine with transferring the whole thing over. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I just know probably some of that's going to be used. That was just going to be a little extra.
Okay. Why don't you make that motion? That's how most of us feel, if you'd like to transfer
okay,
that
I'll
over.
Do that.
If you go, do you feel the same way?
Some of that from last year is part of this year's funds because it was getting early, like people say.
Okay, Linda Alderman raises a good question that we have for you. Part of that 17,450, is that money from dues that was paid before the end of the year?
That should be, Mariah. I think I saw on the QuickBooks where the only assessments collected this year have been put into the database this year, not in last year's. Is that correct?
Yes, there's only been one member that paid their assessment. Excuse me, two members that paid their assessments prior to the end of the year. And that was way prior to the end of the year. And so they've been included in that money there in that 2016. But it's
their,
two members.
Their assessments are in here?
Yes, their assessments.
And we should take that out, yeah, I think.
So is that 475 twice, Mariah?
Yes. Let me just double-check my brain and make sure they didn't have two locks. It'd be 950, I believe.
Yeah, it would be 950 if it was normal assessment. So let me do the math here. It'd be 16,500.
Well, Jody, do you want to make that motion, or I'll make it for you?
Okay. Is she? Are we good on the number there, Mariah? 950.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I can go back and double check, but I'm pretty confident in that.
Okay. So I make the motion that we transfer the surplus of $16,500 from our 2016 budget into savings account.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, I think it's unanimous. Carry on, Jody.
All righty.
So do you have more to tell us on the financial then?
I do, but I'm having to find my spot, so bear with me for a minute.
I just want to – I'll talk while you're finding your spot. Jody's pretty excited with Mariah on the fact that we're – Niles Willis and somebody else, they suggested we just, with the new QuickBooks or new computer, we just start, boom, 2017, January 1, and they're setting up different categories. So we'll know exactly what we spent, not only on cabins, but each cabin, okay, and what we spent it on. In other words, our books will be more telltelling. Or in the agricultural, what we spend it on. Or roads, you know, or equipment upkeep. Am I saying the right things here?
So, let me
continue on that then.
Barry has one question. What are we going to do? We've experienced the hurt or inconvenience of a crash. And we hope we have a better computer now and all of that, but crashes happen, and Barry's going to make a suggestion on
it. Yeah, if you have something lined up or as an offsite backup, great. Otherwise, you can do your backup on QuickBooks to the accountant's version, I think, I'd have to ask John. But you could email that to me, and I could save it on my server in the Deer Springs Ranch file, and then we'd have another location.
I do have.
Barry, do you agree or are you saying no?
What
we're doing on that. Sorry.
Go ahead.
What we're doing on that is that now that we've had this happen, every time Mariah does data entry, she will back it up on a jump drive, on a thumb drive, and she'll do that every time, and then alternate on different jump drives, two different ones. So we have two going at all times, so we won't lose data anymore. We are doing that, right, Mariah?
I've got a big server with lots of space where we keep confidential files, and so monthly we'll talk after.
Okay.
But let's doesn't hurt to have extra backup.
No, it doesn't. Well, I have a big extra hard drive.
Does everybody feel all right about that?
I do.
Okay, wait, before we go on.
Yes.
we also, when Mariah's done with a big, you know, not only is she backing up on the two dump drives, she's also sending me, we've also figured out now how to do this via Dropbox. So when she's done, she sends it to me in the Dropbox. So I have a file on my desk too. So that it won't ever happen again that we do that, that we lose data. We've got three different backups going. So I think we're pretty covered, but I appreciate that, Barry. I think we're covered.
Will you continue to do this if you're not on the board and decide that
I'm going to be in the vault one way or the other until my family's all dead? So
there's going to be.
I already have for the things we've done for Deer Springs in the past. I've already got a file. It's very easy to send it over, and we can just keep it. So
I just want to make a comment though. You've addressed now QuickBooks. What about all the other documentation and all the other files that you create, Mariah, that are letters and things of that nature? How are they being backed up?
Those have not been backed up yet. They need to be on drives and they need to be organized. That's the process I have on a back burner.
If you just sign up for Microsoft OneDrive,
yes,
and you store your data in there, it will automatically, whenever it senses a change, it will automatically upload it to the server. And if you do something remotely, as soon as you log back into where you're in the network, it'll load it up.
Wonderful.
You don't even have to think about it. You just have to make sure you do all your work inside that OneDrive folder.
Wonderful.
And that is a free service provided by Microsoft.
Okay. I will research that more. The other thing I do is I'm a paper person, so mm-hmm. I do have paper records of everything. I keep paper going. I don't want to be extreme. I don't want to kill any trees, but I do like a piece of paper. I can recreate any form if I need to from a piece of paper if I have to. So that's my fourth, fifth way of keeping documents and everything, filed, organized, easy to find.
Okay.
OneDrive, I will write that down. Thanks.
All right.
Okay,
moving on.
All right, so following up what Phil was just saying, yes, we recreated, and I think it probably needed to be done anyway because I'm really anal about numbers, and I want to be able to find out how much the cabin costs us per year, how much we do each cabin costs us per year, how much we're spending on each cabin per year when we do maintenance, how much maintenance do we put into the Ford truck, how much maintenance do we put into the trash trailer. So this new copy of the 17 will have more itemization in it. You've got a copy of the profit loss today that Mariah brought for February 17th. And this has basically little information in it yet because basically all that's happened is we've received some of the assessments. We've had a couple little tiny bills. But you'll see more of these categories come in as we make purchases and make repairs. So I'm kind of excited about that we'll have better accountability. Yeah.
Let me interject one thing. I think we so let me ask this question. So on the part of the cabins, when we have a reservation fee or we collect money for the cabin rental, can we break it down into member reservation? Member use, so that's a member came, they reserved it, they came, they used it. A non-member that came.
Yes, we're doing that now. That part's already in place.
So when we want to analyze how our cabins are being used, and even I would like to know, does anybody else besides Dale lease lots? I would like to know if it's a lessee that use the cabins. So that I can look at cabin usage at the end of the year and I can know how many of our members use their time and we're there. So our membership. Then we'll know people that drove down the road that once in a while or our members had other people use their weeks. We'll know that. And or this whole issue of quasi-members or at least lessees of lots of members will have a feeling for how much of that is taking place on our ranch. If that can all be done, I would like to see that done.
Well, I know we already now, on your profit and loss statement, you'll see cabin reservation fees, and you'll see a listing that says member cabin rentals. That'll be the members that are using their weeks there, and Mariah will have a way to classify, we're going to put them in classes on which cabins they are booking, so we'll have a cabin report. And then the other one that you don't see on that is called cabin rental income, and you don't see it on there yet because it hasn't been used yet, but you will see that on the 2016 P&L, and that is the one that categorizes all the people off the street that aren't members that come in and rent it. So we're keeping them separate that way. That will continue to be, we've been doing that for at least 3 years now that way. But some of those determining costs for each cabin and determining income of each cabin is already in place. She's already got that work in there. I'm not sure about how to connect that to which members leasing what or renting each cabin, but we can definitely make a class. Sorry. We can make a class, Mariah, for leases if we want to do that, and that will require a little bit more investigation with the QuickBooks lady, I'm sure, to make what you want to happen totally there, Phil. But, Mariah, do you have an understanding of what he wants so we can work on that and we can talk to the QuickBooks lady about that?
Yes, the only there's no problem adding the lessees separate from the members who are letting someone in their family come use it. But that's the only tricky part that I can see on my end. When I receive a reservation without, there are some that I am fully aware of when they are a lessee, but there's going to be some that I'm just not going to know. So I will have to question more to find out, is this a family member coming or are you leasing your lot out? Are you renting it to someone else? I don't know that way if that's...
No, I'm not talking about just leasing the cabin. Like a member, it's not just their family, but it's, say, that one of their neighbors that wants to come, and that's one thing. I'm talking about when Dale Clarkson leases for $1,500 the use of his lot to that person for the year, and then they come and take two cabins. That's a specific thing. Okay.
Yes, I have a clear understanding of that.
Okay.
I think that's just a matter.
Any other category that you can think of that we need so that we really can, we know the cost of cabin and maintenance. We can judge how all of these things, and we can also judge, you can have in there if we had to do a cleanup, if there was a fee assessed or, you know.
That shouldn't be too difficult to determine.
Yeah.
We've got a list of members. Whenever somebody other than that member says I'm reserving cabin space for lot 111, for example, then you should be able to determine right there that whether that's the owner or whether it's Clarkson and somebody else, and then at that point you're going to have to ask, okay, are you renting time or are you renting a lot? And we just want to create a separate category so that can be identified as to, because I think it's appropriate for us to be able to track kind of what's going on and verify the different types of uses we're having in the cabin so that we have information in the future to make decisions on how we deal with that.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, a person who is purchasing time through a lease, they are leasing the property. You would like to see that separately.
Yes.
Those that are coming in that are a friend of Brad's that are coming in to stay would not be included in that. They would be included in a separate category.
One. Yes.
Okay, as just a friend of a member.
Right.
So no profit. Yes.
Less fees, and then there are guests.
Yes. Member guests. Okay, perfect.
And I can.
There might need to be a fourth category of people just.
Yes, we have that one.
Yeah, that's pretty set up.
Our turret
drop-ins.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to make this official.
And I can work with you on identifying how the easiest. I don't want it to be any extra work for you.
Okay.
So it should be a pretty simple way that we set it up just so that we can verify which category they go in and make it easy.
Okay, perfect.
Possible.
I think that would be great to have a little checklist to identify that. But I think this is totally straightforward, too, and can definitely be done.
So I'd like to make a motion and get board approval on. My motion is that we, as we have just discussed, we delineate in our bookkeeping the rental of our cabins. Do I have, that's my motion.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Jody? Okay.
Aye. Okay, moving on?
Yes.
Okay, so I did a cabin analysis this year, for the end of the 2016. And, okay, keep in mind, reservation fee income is merely members. So our reservation fee income was up this year. We ended up being about $8,817, and that's up 30% over last year reservation fees. So that's outstanding. I was able to tally a full year's worth of pay-for-play income, and that ended up being $6,121. So our cabin rental income, this is the people that aren't members, was about $2,000. So our total cabin income for 2016 was $16,906.70, which is awesome. However, on the flip side, when I did a quick analysis of the cabin operational costs for the year based on the same percentages I used in 2014 report, our cost this year to run the cabins, to operate the cabin, was $44,552. So even though we're bringing in almost $17,000 total cabin income, we're still covering the cost of $27,000 from the dues to keep them operational. And that's on that sheet there, too. It says
one more extrapolation, then. You look down at the cost of running the cabins in 2014, it was, I don't see that. I thought I did.
Yeah, it's down under the 2014 reservation fees. The cost then was about $47,000.
Wait a minute. Oh, approximately $40,000 in 2014.
Right.
Okay, so in 2016, it was only $44,000.
Right. Okay. We must be getting more efficient or something.
Good. I would expect the cost to go up slightly with higher usage, but...
Yeah, that's an approximate. I went through and based on the same percentages that I used before, which is like 50% of the ranch manager salary. And remember, we were down in the ranch manager salary this year because they didn't fulfill the whole year. So there's going to be some fluctuation. So figure 50,000, 44 to 50,000 this year was the cost of our cabins. It was just an approximate.
Something to say.
Question, Jody. Does that include the upgrades that were done, like on cabin 3, the walkway up there, and the rock that we brought in, and things like that? Does that total include all that money as well?
No, that does not include those. Those are special projects, and they were not in my calculation formula.
Okay, so it would be more than if you were designating a cabin, the finances put towards cabins.
Right.
Well, I think there's a distinction between maintaining cabins, which we have to do no matter what, and cabin use. The capital improvements and putting roofs on, whether one person uses the cabins or nobody uses the cabins or 5 million people use the cabins, we still have to have roofs, we still have to have structure, we still have to do maintenance. And so hopefully this number only includes the day-to-day operations and costs of maintaining and operating the cabins. Includes all of
that. Yes, yes, that's what it does, Barry.
It is?
Okay, yeah.
Perfect. Good.
Good. Good to clarify that. I don't think so.
Yeah, and, the new ranch managers will be instrumental in this because when they go shopping for repair things for cabin one, say, we want them to separate them out on the receipt so we know this went to cabin one. This is part of the maintenance on cabin one. And we'll do that to all the cabins, but it's going to require really good ranch managers to help us do that because they're the ones with the main receipt. They're the ones buying it. Their communication with Mariah will be critical. And it's simple. I do the same thing for my store. I go in and I purchase things cost of sale for each department. I note it on the receipt when I get home, and I total it up so I know which part goes to one department, which part goes to another department. And that way the more accurate those ranch managers are, the more accurate we'll be on our numbers.
Let me point out one concern I have, though. You've indicated here that the operation of the cabins was $45,000, and I know that can be flexible. But in your budget for 2016, it shows that we spent $12,700 plus $3,500. That's a long ways from $47,000. So what would make up the difference between what we have in the budget as far as cabin maintenance and the difference between basically $15,000, $16,000 and $47,000. There's $30,000 that's coming from somewhere else that's not budgeted for cabins in the documents you've given us.
Correct. The one thing, the budgeting for cabins is the capital improvements.
No, this is cabin furnishings, maintenance, cleaning supplies, toilet paper, and everything else according to the budget I got. What was that?
Didn't she say that she included 50% of the manager's salary into that because it was split between cabins?
Well, but would we not have to have managers if we didn't have cabins? We'd still have to have managers. They do a lot of other things. I don't know.
What I'm saying is the difference between 45,000, what you're saying, and the fee, the amount that you quoted for the cabin, that is a $30,000 difference. Is that difference in manager's salary?
That's my question. What is the difference between the $16,000 or $17,000 in the budget and the $47,000 you're showing us cost?
You want to answer,
okay,
Jody?
Yeah, let me explain how I figure this out. We budget for $12,000 out of our cash to go to the cabin maintenance, repair, and supplies. When the actual cost of the cabin includes things like I put management fees, like Paul and Nancy, 50% of their salary goes to the cabin because one person is solely responsible for the cabins. So we get money from the manager's fee to do that. We also, I take 60% of our propane use. That's part of our cost to do the cabin, but I figure 60% of the total bill. The trash trailer, that's all part of it.
And on that, are you just estimating a 60%?
Yes. On each category, it'd be different. Like propane, I estimate 60%. The administrative cost, which is Mariah or Linda's position, I estimate 30% of their salary goes towards the cabin. We have bank card fees. Of course, that's 100%. I estimate part for internet services because they book it online. We have to have our reservation service online. Paul and Nancy's management fees, our summer help, 50% of our workman's comp payments go into this. And then part of our water systems and repair, basically those I try to do what is specific for cabins only, but that's sometimes hard to break out. So yeah, all these other things in our budget, part of those go into sustaining the cabins. So we are not paying for the cabins off of what we charge for the cabins. Part of the other budget items help pay for the cabins as well. So we meet, that's why we only offer or allocate $12,000 for the cabin maintenance, furnishing supplies on the budget. The rest comes from other categories in the budget.
Let me ask, and I don't want to make this difficult. Maybe not now's not the time to discuss it, but when we have the propane filled, don't we want to identify how much propane went in cabin one? And I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about as far as the budget, maintenance and repairs. We also want to say cabin one used so much in propane, not necessarily cabin by cabin. I think it's just as easy to do that. They send you an invoice that identifies it. But
yes,
we want to separate the cost of the cabin propane versus the cost of the well and the headquarters and those kind of things. Just so
yes,
we're looking at real numbers rather than I mean, the information's there, right?
It is.
Okay.
It will be on the 2017 report now. We're going to itemize it that way, and I talked to Mariah about that as well, that we're going to itemize. We can determine which propane, how much propane went into each tank each year now. So this QuickBooks, the new format that we have set up, will do that for us.
So other than, I mean, we're always going to have to kind of do an allocation for manager's time, and thank you, manager's
yes,
time and workers' comp, because they don't have, but most of the rest of this stuff can be identified. Certainly, at least cabin by cabin, as far as the costs and those kind of things. So our budget can be more detailed in that area, right?
Yeah.
Moving forward, I'm not suggesting we go back and try to figure it out, but
likewise on the things like adding the rock and fixing the decks and things like that, that should be classified under a project rather than like cabin maintenance should be under a project because it's not an ongoing.
And I think we already do that with the special projects. Hey, sorry, you've answered my question.
Well, if you have any more, Barry, let me know. I've got a sheet here of how I figured that out and which percentages went where, not to bog the whole meeting down with it. And that's the other thing, too. When we have special projects come up on the cabins, like this year, starting this year forward, if we have rocks come in for Cabin 3, Mariah can make the entry to Cabin 3 as an expense. We needed rocks for the special project. So we should have a better tracking of all that.
Under projects instead of cabin maintenance?
Well, no, because it's a special project that year. It'll run under that year for that cabin. Once that year is gone, it'll be in the history, but it's not a reoccurring expense. So I would call that a special project.
Right.
Okay. Carry on. You have some more?
I think that's the end. I want to know if Amari had anything to add to that and if there's any questions.
I don't have anything to add.
Okay, there's nothing else to add, she says. And any other questions from the board members? Okay, let's move on down our agenda then. number three. Now, as I looked through the minutes, okay, we're going to go to item.
I think these are just provisional. There's nothing really.
Yeah, these are just monthly.
We've accepted the budget for the year, and if we need to modify it at some point, we may need to make a motion. But right now, we're still functioning on the current budget.
It's going to be a real blessing to
you. Okay, now we're on number three, item I. I think there was some confusion because as I read back through the minutes of. Was it November? Barry Clarkson made a motion to approve the rules and regulations with one exception to the language associated with trash. Brad Hunt seconded the motion. The board members voted unanimously. So
I have a comment on that just real quick.
Okay.
I had the same question, went back and bam, out in the meetings because I had remembered. The problem isn't accepting, because I think we've already voted and accepted the rules. The problem is now we have four different versions. The one that you sent me is different than the one that Vance was working off of because he had made additions. So I think that, unfortunately, although we've accepted them, we really need
we
to scratch our heads and decide which version is the right one that contains all of the changes because we have at least three different versions floating around.
So we have the version that Mariah just sent us.
Right, and I had Vance check that, and it did not contain Vance's changes related to how much we charge for water, and we don't have one that contains the trash language. So what I would propose is we put this on the agenda for next meeting. Let me work on gathering up all the versions and mark them up so that we can see the changes, and then we can look at them and approve and reject the changes and get it over with, because I don't think we're prepared for that.
Okay, that sounds like a great plan. We'll put that to next meeting. Thank you, Barry.
Could we be emailed that as you get that, and then we could send you back?
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll finalize the version. I'll send it out to everybody saying, this is the working document. Send in your comments, and then make sure that you get them back so that I can highlight or mark them so everybody can see.
Highlight, and then we can actually have something to talk about.
Yes, then you can say, okay, this language proposed by Barry and objected to by Joe. He objected to everything, so I'll line it out so that it's easy to read through. Okay?
That's cool.
Input? I think I did that last night, Barry, but I it was a little bit late, so I don't know if y'all have received it yet, but I did find the one that you sent over to us had the revised October 8th. No, that was the new one. The one you sent had something earlier than that. So I found that one in my file and just corrected the date, the revision date, and made a couple of, checked it, but I checked it line by line last night, and what I sent over should be the last copy if you want to check that when you after the meeting or whatever.
I got your email. I didn't have a chance to look through it to see that it contained all the changes that have been kind of floated around. So I will I'll consolidate and put a final version together making a notation of all the changes just so we can review it in a few minutes and decide yay or nay and move forward.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Let's move on to the bylaw change for removing officers from the board. Again, Mariah sent you out this and
what I hope was the latest one.
What she hopes
it was. There were multiple versions on that one.
Did everybody read it over?
I did.
Okay. Is there any discussion changes, recommendations that any of you have, or can we make a motion to accept this?
I feel like we should have a 10% of membership ownership required to vote on something. 10% should be sufficient. And
that is approximately 30.
That's 30 people. That's 305 lots.
No, that's if you give every lot a vote, then you're going to have to give everybody a lot of votes. And if every lot gets a vote, then that's 10%. But if you're going to limit the vote to unique individuals, then it's not anywhere close to 10%.
It's not limited to that.
It is in the wording or in the verbiage. It says it's limited to unique individuals.
Yeah, remember we had that discussion as to whether it was.
Oh gosh, yeah.
That was a huge sticking point. And,
yeah.
And I guess I'll speak out of turn. I don't think we should be adopting this or sending it out or doing anything. I think we should leave things how they are, and that's how I would vote if there is a vote. So.
Okay.
Can you express any opinions on why?
We've functioned for a long time. At the end of the day, if the membership, for example, for me, if the membership at a meeting has the sufficient votes to kick me out, then God bless them, let them do it. I'm perfectly happy with that. But that's I know that different people feel differently. So
if, okay, noted.
I guess I didn't follow that. You're perfectly happy if the membership wants to kick you out, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so we have 6 out of 7 people here. There's 10 people at the meeting here, and you're voted in by 120 people vote you into this.
Problem is you can't
and
have a meeting.
If people show up at this meeting and kick you out, are you happy with that?
They have to have, what you don't understand is you have to have 50% of the people present to have a quorum, or you can't take any action. So you have to have 50% of the membership represented at a meeting, or you don't have a meeting. So if 50% of the meeting of the members are represented in a meeting, and that 50% by majority vote votes to kick me out, I'm perfectly fine with that.
I am too. I just thought that read differently.
It reads may be removed with or without cause by the affirmative vote by written ballot of a majority of all members present. So that's just the numbers.
That's the way I understand.
That's not 50% of the membership.
You don't have a meeting unless you have a quorum. If you have a quorum, that means you have to have 50% of the membership represented.
This says a constituted regular. So this is a regular meeting.
Okay. This is not a regular membership meeting.
You're talking about the annual
meeting. You're looking at the difference between a board meeting and a meeting of the members. Meeting of the members doesn't exist unless you have 50% of the members represented there by in-person or
we
proxy.
We never even have 50% at the annual meeting, I don't think, do we?
Every meeting, or you don't have?
No.
You don't have 150 lots represented in a meeting?
Well, what was the total of the votes? I don't think so.
192 votes.
117 votes for Brad.
Of the lots, wouldn't that include one person in some cases, depending on how, like, one of our members owns 10. So would that
that's
person showing up as 10 votes?
That's all right. But a lot of those weren't present that you just said 190.
They were present by proxy. That's the same as being there.
Oh, I'm going to disagree on that because it's a different topic happening.
What was that? I didn't understand that.
Say that again, Jody.
Well, you're saying that they're present by proxy. Well, only on what the issue was presented before they got there, not if they attend a board meeting and were all sitting there and then a motion is brought to the table at the annual meeting that we're going to remove 3 of the 7 board members. At this point, they have no decision because they're not there. They voted on who they're going to elect in that year. That's what that vote was for, but that's what the proxy's for, but not to determine at that time. It's an unknown issue.
Proxy, if you sign a proxy, what it legally means is, if I sign a proxy to Jeff, it means I trust Jeff to vote my will and to do whatever he thinks is best regard of whatever issue comes up at the meeting. That's how
proxy
works.
Can we do a limited proxy?
If you change the bylaws.
And so the way you
that's what we do.
You read our bylaws now, as with your expertise in legal matters. A board member can't remove Phil without 50% of the vote of an annual meeting or of some of a regular meeting.
What you have to have is, well, it's a kind of a chain. You have a meeting if you have a quorum. That means that 50% of the membership of Deer Springs Ranch, that's individual, are there at the meeting. Now, a proxy means you're legally there at the meeting. So, if...
Wait a minute. That's the one sticking point for me.
But it's the annual meeting. Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
We have an annual meeting, but the voting at the annual meeting is specific to the elections.
I understand.
Okay. So, why then is the proxy vote not specific to that and can include things that are brought up at the meeting? That's been a real sticking point for a lot of members.
Because right now, the bylaws do not restrict the proxy to anything. They basically say you can vote by proxy, which means if I give Mariah my proxy, she can vote for me for anything that comes up at that meeting. That's what I sign when I sign a proxy. That's state law. Now, if you want to restrict that and say the proxies can only be used to vote on items that are on the agenda 30 days before the meeting, then you can do that. But it has to be adopted as a bylaw change. I'm not saying you can't do this. I'm just saying you have to jump through the hoops. And I'm perfectly fine to leave things just how they are. I'm not trying to influence your votes or anything else. I just think we're jumping through a lot of hoops that ultimately we're not going to get the votes to pass anyway. Yes?
Well, Barry, when you say proxy votes, some of those votes come in by mail.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one's there representing, right?
If so, they vote by mail, that's not a proxy.
Okay. So someone has to be there at the meeting physically for proxy authorization.
So proxy means I give my vote to Joe. I can also vote by mail, which says I'm still voting. I'm participating in the meeting. And obviously those votes by mail can't be changed to cover things that come up at the meeting. They only address the things that are on the agenda.
So what you're saying then is rather than debate what has been presented today or not presented, the real issue is the bylaw, and that's what needs to be addressed.
Well, if they want to make the change, then the change – part of the problem, what I think is the problem, is people's concern over proxies, whether you allow proxies or whether you don't. If that's the problem, address that problem. Don't address – I mean, we're taking one issue that's whether you can or can't vote off all the members of the board at a meeting without having it approved beforehand by proxy, blah, 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 all these things. It's a real small portion of what I think people's anxiety is, and it seems to me like people's anxiety is over whether to allow proxy voting or not. And I know that what was the last – he just left the board.
Leland.
Leland said, I hate proxy voting. Let's get rid of it, which you can with a vote of the majority of the members. I don't like that. I think proxy voting is fine. I'm okay with things how they are. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't have a discussion. I'm just telling you up front that whatever the discussion is, my vote is going to be let's not send it out. Let's not mess with this particular matter. Let's move on with things that are critical in operation of the ranch.
Joe, as I read this first paragraph is the way the law is now, correct?
Yes.
And as I read this, not being a lawyer and not knowing all the ins and outs, it says, at any duly constituted regular or special meeting. It doesn't say annual meeting. It says, like at a meeting right today.
You don't. What you're missing is you can have a regular meeting. We have one annual meeting. We can have five annual meetings, five regular meetings. But you don't have a meeting, special or regular, unless you have a quorum by state law. And a quorum is you have to have 50% of the shareholders or members present.
Well, in other words, that's 50 lots for us.
Yes. So you're saying is that
we can vote, be voted in by 192 votes to be a board member.
Voted out,
and then 16 people can show up the next meeting and vote us out.
If
they cannot do that.
If those 16 people have at least 150 lots that they represent, either there or by proxy, then they can.
Then I've misunderstood. If that's correct, I've misunderstood.
There's no way that 16 people, that 16 lot owners can kick you out. It takes 150 votes to kick you out. Now, whether they're there in person or by proxy, it doesn't matter, and it has to be at a meeting, but it takes
half
the...
I'm okay with 150 votes to kick you out. For a practical look at this, of our last elections, the last election we had 192, is that...
192 votes counted.
How many of those were mailed in? Approximately.
Most of them.
But, I mean, and of those that were mailed in, how many were not proxies?
There was probably what?
15 proxies.
Some of the folks that were brought to the meeting had lots of proxies, but mailed in probably about 15.
Okay, so we have...
The breakdown's on the webpage.
Yeah, it is.
Let's go that
way.
I want to see, for instance, for the last meeting. Joe, will you tell us the history of how you were voted off the board once upon a time?
I can't prove anything. I was voted. I ran for the board. I was asked to run for the board. You remember what year that was, huh? That's 20 years ago, maybe. I was asked to run for the board. I agreed to run for the board. I ran for the board. I was called by a board member and said I was on the board. I had enough votes to get on. Next day or two later, don't remember, it's slept since then, I received a phone call saying you're not on the board. It was an invalid vote. There was an emergency special meeting called and
invalid vote
because an invalid, something was invalid with the way the election was held. So they said we're going to run another election. My name was left off the board. I wasn't included on it. It was run again, and it was all controlled, I'm sorry, by Dale. And I went back. I read the minutes and the notes. None of that information's in there, but I'm here living and breathing and telling you it happened to me.
Well, but sounds like, and I don't disagree with you, and I don't defend, and I understand things have happened in the past. But in your case, what happened was apparently they called another special. So what, you weren't voted, you weren't removed like this procedure we're dealing with. They simply called, which you can, if you have the numbers necessary, you can call a special meeting and they could have another election tomorrow if they want. That's not affected by what happens here. Does that make sense?
But the decision is made by a majority of the shareholders.
For the voting.
Yeah, and
to vote somebody else off. He was just basically voted off.
Well, and I
matter of fact, the person that notified me and asked was Nellie Hoyt. She was on the board. George Strain was on the board. And I was voted on. They called me and congratulated me. And then the next day, oh, sorry, Joe. You were removed from the board. We're having another election, and your name's not even going to be put on the ballot.
Well, and I don't know what happened, so I really can't address that. But that, again, doesn't necessarily deal with what this particular proposal is all about.
And I can't prove any of it because none of that's in the minutes anywhere. Period.
Well, that's another problem is what we're trying to resolve is make sure that details are enough in the minutes to tell what's going on.
Okay, we have the actual stats here, I think. You read those to us, Mariah or Jeff, do you see it?
Okay, it shows that the total number of official ballots counted, this is from August, or the September meeting held in 2016, there were 192. It lists then the members that were presented to be, were eligible to be voted onto the board. It says there were no write-ins, no nominations. And then it says that there were...
We don't know how many came in by mail, though, from that, right?
No, but it says they were received by mail, ballots received by proxy or delivered in person were given a deadline, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't give a breakdown of how many
percent. Then it doesn't matter.
Well, and I don't want to sidetrack the discussion. I'm just telling you up front as far as moving forward,
in discussing what should or shouldn't be included in the mail out, I'm not in favor of sending a mail out or moving forward with that. I'm one of seven. And so I think we need to have whatever discussion needs to be had and decide as a board with a vote whether we agree with the language as proposed, number one, and number two, whether it's mailed out. Obviously, the deadlines need to be changed because the original was to be mailed out and received back by February 1st, which didn't happen. So
I'd like to have input.
Go ahead, Joey.
Okay. Regardless of proxies or not, Barry, our concern is not proxies. The concern is when you attend a meeting, by our bylaws, I read this as, and I believe I've talked to Bruce before on it, at any regular or special meeting, anyone showing up, you can vote off any members of the board or all members of the board at that meeting if you have a majority of people present. And I did talk to Bruce about this, I remember. But whether it happens at a regular meeting, whether you classify our normal monthly meetings, that to me is a regular meeting, or a special meeting, or a meeting of the membership, which is the membership meeting is the one in September. Case in point, this last September, it was obviously clear, we heard about it before the meeting happened, that if I did not resign from the Water Committee and the Legal Committee, that I would be voted off the board and two other members would be voted off the board. And it was absolutely clear from the presence of people in the audience that that was going to happen because of the people that were there with Dale. And these numbers, he would have had his votes, which would be 54, plus his family votes would have been about 100. He would have had more than 50% of the votes there at the meeting. Therefore, up to three of us would have been gone if I would not have resigned. We want to stop that from happening. That shouldn't happen to any board at any meeting or at the annual meeting.
It was a threat that was made.
Yeah, and this new resolution that Phil has put together would stop that. So I'm full-heartedly behind this because we can't have one group of people making decisions for the membership. If the membership wants someone off the board, the membership should, they voted for the person, they should take those people off as well, or at least have their vote and input into it. I don't think it should be left up to the majority that shows up at one board meeting, because I'll tell you, this conversation's been going on for 3 years, and the reason why we call it the nuclear option is because we haven't set it in motion, because as soon as one party would do that, the next party would come the next month with their crew, and they'd fire the other half of the board, and it would become a vicious cycle. So that's why this thing is so important. Now, whether it'll pass or not, because there's a lot of votes that Dale has, we do not know. And it's quite possibly that it won't pass. But I'm thinking that we have to try to put it out there to stop that from happening in the future.
Okay. If I understand it correctly, our current bylaws, now that Barry's explained them, requires a majority vote for removal of a board member. Is that correct or not correct?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the bylaws right now just to make sure that we don't have some goofy quorum requirement. But by state law, you have to have a quorum.
And a quorum is only four people of the board.
He's talking about a quorum of the members.
He's talking about membership.
Right. Board members cannot vote off other board members, so the board meetings we have monthly are completely irrelevant to this discussion. The only people that can vote off board members or vote in board members are the membership. So we're talking about regular and special meetings of the membership. Nothing can happen of this sort in a board meeting. So what you've got to have, and I'll look up and verify that I'm not misleading you and the bylaws will alter it, but under state law, you have to have a majority of the members present to have a quorum. Otherwise, you do not have a regular or special meeting. It just doesn't exist and no action can be taken.
And presence, it can be a
proxy vote.
Proxy vote is
legally constitutes being at the meeting, as well as a vote by mail. And I understand the conflict with having things change at a meeting where people that voted by mail don't get the opportunity to voice their opinion, but they choose to vote by mail knowing that risk. And so we can't fix it for everybody. And I understand that you, and it seems like Phil, are strongly in favor of this. I think we just move forward discuss it and have a vote and decide whether we send it out or not. Like I said, I'm just one vote, but I'm letting you know kind of where I'm at.
I understand.
What I'm hearing is that we don't have a discrepancy. We have a unanimous feeling among our board members that it requires a majority vote of our membership to remove a board member. Does anybody have any discrepancy?
My discrepancy would only be the question of proxy votes for non-specifically announced beforehand items.
But if that's the issue, then we should be dealing with defining what a proxy vote entails.
Well, my interpretation of the bylaws were simply that the majority could vote a board member in, and then a very minority amount of people could throw the board member off, and I think our board membership should dictate who sits on the board and not a minority of people. So the majority votes me off, I'm off, and I support that. But if a minority amount of our membership votes me off after a majority amount of the membership have voted me on, I think that's incorrect. And that's how I read the bylaws as they were currently written, that a minority group of people could overthrow the majority of the our ownership.
Well, Barry's stating that it's got to be a majority.
But see, that's the thing. If the concern is that people will come in with a minority vote and a bunch of proxies, then the proxy vote or the proxy itself should be limited, like someone said, to only be dealing with the election of officers, and that's it, or some other item. But the proxy itself right now is open to anything. So if that's – but this concern would go away if the proxy was limited to officers.
I feel personally I have a right to allow somebody to vote for me instead of cast my vote in case there was an election or something that came up. And if I trusted Joe to vote for me at that meeting by proxy, gave him my proxy, I want the right personally – to retain my proxy vote and have control of my vote, whether or not I can make a physical presence. Because if you mail in, you lose your power of voting if there was a special election.
A special issue.
See, I think that we've spent enough time on this issue, and by rewriting it, it's not going to accomplish what you're wanting to do because the proxy is still basically affect whatever comes out.
I disagree, and I'll tell you why I disagree, to interject, I'm sorry. At the bylaw as it reads, at any duly constructed regular or special meeting of the association, it doesn't say meeting of the membership, it says meeting of the association. And I know this was a key point when I talked to Bruce about this a couple years ago. So maybe the word needs to be changed there, meeting of the membership, so this can be at the annual meeting.
What's
but
the difference?
The meeting of the membership is only in September. That's our annual meeting. The meetings that we have monthly are not meetings of the membership. They're meetings of the association. There's a big difference between the two.
Any meeting of the association indicates that it's a meeting of the membership. So I don't see an ambiguity there, but I don't know it's worth trying to get a bylaw amendment made to change the one word. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I agree with you on that, Barry. To do an amendment to change the bylaw for one word, I agree with you. That wouldn't hardly be worth it. But I think we need to change this part of the bylaw, this section, so that we don't ever have this happening. And I'm telling you, I would have to support it. I've talked to Bruce a couple times about it. I think I have other notes about what he was telling me in this. Not saying that you're not saying the same thing, Barry. I don't know. But I'm thinking proxies are coming up as a big thing here, and proxies are not the major big thing here. But I think we also talked about that statement that the proxy is good for whatever the vote was intended for, but not for other things that have not been addressed yet. So I need to go back to my notes and re-verify that, and I think we need to have more research on that. But I'm all in favor of moving forward on presenting this and at least trying to get it changed.
Hey, Joe has a comment. Okay, I want to make a statement. I don't want to argue the statement. I just want to make the statement. I've been at the ranch since 1978. attending board meetings. My wife's been the president. She's attended them. We go out of our way to attend as many as we can.
To me, anybody that sends out a letter and requests a proxy before they even know who the nominees are has an intent to do something that not, does not favor the members. Done. I'm finished talking about it.
Okay. I see Brad made a point that the fact that, see, our members live all over the country and out of the country. And physically, it is impossible for them to all be at the annual meeting. I mean, we can say, well, okay, tough, don't come to the annual meeting, something comes up, you weren't there. And so I am seeing the point that I didn't see, I think I would see, that a proxy is useful for members that aren't going to be able to attend and yet want to have a say in what's done, and so they trust some individual with their vote. And that goes against what my fear was a ambush at the OK Corral, wherein in our unique situation, every situation is unique, but at our ranch, Dale Clarkson has sold and or bought or never sold, I don't know, but I've seen his membership amounts go down and I've seen him go back up. He buys lots. Anyway, which he has a right to do. And it's kind of like there's enough undercurrent of disagreement with Dale on certain things and agreement with him on certain things. But our fear is the fact that we want the vote to be representative of the feelings of all of the members, but and a lot of members, I'm speaking generally here, wish that no one member owned more than 5 or 10 lots, you know, because they don't want to be stipulated. They want to be part of a membership, not I say this loosely, a dictatorship.
So
they become offended when that member with that ability strives to push upon the other members his will, that in many cases, this is all just hearsay, I know it would be hearsay in court, in many cases, is not the feeling of the general membership or a majority of them.
Well, let me make a comment really quick, just an observation. The bottom line is if the concern, which I think it is, I mean, let's just call it what it is. I think the concern with a lot of members is, as you pointed out, having Dale and others that have a bunch of votes. Well, your best bet is to allow proxies so you get as much representation and as much participation of members that can't come. My dad's going to be at the annual meeting, and he's going to vote whatever he owns, and right now I think he owns 50 or 55 units.
50.
The best way to make it equal is to allow for the proxy voting. Now, I know that he regularly requests or petitions or tries to gather votes, especially when trying to change composition of the board. I don't see any problem with him doing what he feels like he needs to protect his interests. At the same time, I don't blame any other member for trying to protect their interest. Hopefully, over a period of time, his lots will be sold and that will diminish. I think it's diminished significantly in the last couple of years. But that's why I feel like we stay the course and just allow and try to include as many people as possible in voting, whether that's by mail, which has its limitations, by proxy, or encouraging as many people to come as possible, and leave it broad. And I know this is an issue as far as, you know, the firing of the whole board, and I don't know.
Yes, we were sensitized because in a very real way, a number of us were, the word was directly from Dale's mouth to people,
to let it be known that.
I became aware after that he basically said, look, unless some of these things change, then I'm going to exercise my legal right and have you removed from the board. I understand that, and I understand where the discussion is coming from as far as where we are now. I think it's time for us to decide and have a vote. Do we approve the language that's been proposed, and do we send it out to the membership and try to get this changed, or do we discuss it further with some research behind it? I don't like delays, so I'm not really fond of that. Or do we vote to do nothing and leave it where it's at? I think it's time to kind of make a decision. I don't blame anybody. I completely understand Joe's position as far as the frustration and everyone else who's ever been threatened with, and I don't know how many there are or aren't as far as removal, but my position is, as a board member, look, if there's enough people to get together that don't like what I'm doing, then let the membership vote count, and they can kick me off, and anybody that agrees with me. I think we leave that flexibility open to allow for as broad a vote as possible to allow things to move forward. And you're going to find that very well may be in somebody's favor today and then somebody else's favor down the road. So I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well,
Jeff has something real quick.
Go ahead.
You got ladies it. Before gentlemen.
I agree with what everyone's saying, except the member sitting out here. But I think you could take it a further step to specifically specify the nature of the proxy vote. Is that acceptable to the HOA board? That's one point. Then you could say the proxy to be used in a specific manner for voting on an election. I don't know if that's possible, but I like what Jeff said, and I think that could be added to what you're talking about on the other amendment. Anyway, this is
I have something I want to
say. Linda jumped in.
To be fair, not all the proxies that came in were one way or the other. There was proxies from both sides.
I think there's a reason.
There should have been.
There's a reason that state law has provided for proxies, and it's a good idea. Sometimes it's used in favor one way, and sometimes it could be abused. But bottom line is, it allows for the biggest flexibility of participation from all the members.
So
Jeff
and me, and then you.
Okay. And my feeling is, though, if the biggest problem we have is the fear of something that might happen, then we're trying to regulate a fear, an unknown. Let's forget about that and just say, okay, what's the best that we need to do going forward, and leave the fear on the side of the train track, because you can't deal with fears. You've got to deal with reality, saying, all right, how do we deal with this in the future? And if it's the proxy, then let's define the proxy to be, you may vote for these people on this election. That's all the proxy is good for. Nothing else. If you want to deal with anything that's coming up, there's going to be on the agenda, and that's ready for a membership vote, you have to address that specifically. You know, if you want your proxy to say, I'm voting for these three people, and on the item number three, I want to vote no,
That's voting by mail. We already have that.
Okay. Well,
the whole purpose of a proxy is saying this person has the right to decide, make a decision on whatever comes up. If you vote by mail, which is what you're saying, is I vote for these three people and I vote yes on item A or B, which.
Okay, but then we limit the proxies that are presented in person only to the election, not to any other agenda items.
Well, that any limitation of the proxy itself would require a bylaw change, which we have.
But then we don't even have any language with. So sorry, Phil, go ahead.
Okay. So, let's see, it's hard to put this into words, but I've always felt like I go to the annual meeting and we vote on the directors. And proxies or not, it was just kind of intuitively thinking they're sending their proxy to vote for that. but I see the legal thing. And I also, and I often wondered, well, we're having an annual meeting. We need to make decisions on things. Is that the place to make the decisions on these other things, or is that why we elect a board and then they filter through all of the pros and cons and then we have something sent out to us and then we can all vote on it? Like, we wanted to do away with the cabins and then we, you know, or things like that. And so I've heard it complained about that in the past, Dale or others had brought up items that nobody thought, even knew, were going to be brought up, and then they were voted on. That comes down to, well, that doesn't seem right. It wasn't on the agenda. They just was in general unfinished business or whatever. And so I thought that was incorrect. But the longer I've been associated with the board and the members of the whole, I worry about, I know all the members can't physically, the expense to be at the annual meeting can't be there, and that's, I see the utility in proxies. And so there's where I am really torn. I'm coming more around to the fact that the proxy ought to have full rights to vote, not on just the election, but on whatever is brought up. But I think you should only be able to bring up for vote things that were announced ahead of time. Joe?
I'll just...
Well, wait a minute. Brad, and then
thank you. We're talking about two different issues. I don't see proxies even on the mention of this amendment that we've listed, unless I'm reading it incorrectly. I just wanted one more clarification. What, Jody?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Nothing.
Once you've reread this, as this stands, our current bylaws, it's still, in your professional opinion, it requires a majority vote to remove a board member the way this is written?
Yes.
And I think we're all in agreement that that's what we want.
Well, I looked at the bylaws. It doesn't address it, so it default back to state law, which says you have to have a quorum. So that's what I base my opinion on. I'm obviously not completely independent.
So you have to have a quorum. It couldn't be just Dale showing up with his 50 lots to vote and 10 of his friends. And,
that's correct.
And I think that took a lot of the fear away from me, the need to change it. Joe?
You know, the only thing I had, you know, I'm not against the proxy. If 50 individuals come in and request and support 50 proxies, they're going to be split 50-50. I don't have a problem with that. But when one person's got 50 votes, and he's trying to get 50 more votes, that's not right for the association. Someone's got an agenda that does not match the agenda of all the individual people. That's what I'm concerned with.
Well, I don't know if that could be handled in a rule.
If 50 people do proxies and they're all independent, I wouldn't have a problem.
I wouldn't even question it. That might be handled, tell me if I'm wrong,
50-50.
In a rules and regs thing where proxies may be... proxies for the annual meeting may be solicited after the agenda has been set.
Yeah, something like that. That relates to your voting, and you can basically say proxy. You can't prohibit petitioning or requesting, and I don't think we want to because both sides on any issue are going to want to ask for proxies. So I don't think you can affect that. But you can say you can limit in the rules and regulations saying that proxies can't be petitioned or requested until the meeting agenda is presented or something. That's going to cut down a little unless the agenda is prepared 2 months.
Otherwise, it's a power of attorney. If January 1, somebody went to everybody and said, give me your power of attorney for all matters pertaining to
the board. I think in the rules that you could restrict the timing of how much time you had to petition or request proxies. I don't think that requires a bylaw change or anything.
That would fix your concern.
And it could only be used for what's on the printed agenda at the meeting.
Right.
That would require bylaw change.
Yeah.
You can't restrict what you can do with the proxy. You can restrict when you can request it. That relates to the vote, but you can't.
We want to just restrict it to they'll be somewhat educated on what's going to be discussed at the meeting.
They will have received an agenda and know what's going to be on the meeting. and then you can ask.
What about official versus non-official proxy? I mean, when we send out a ballot forms, we send out a proxy form. But I think the law is that anybody can write up anything and give their proxy.
Since the bylaw doesn't, our bylaws don't say, here's the form,
yeah,
then it could be a piece of tissue that says, I own lot 111,
yeah,
and I appoint Dale Clarkson to vote for me, and I sign it. That's, you can't really, again, without changing the bylaws, affect the form of what may or may not be acceptable.
Well, then I'm going to announce that I feel not that it's a perfect world, and I would like things a little different, but I think the way that the bylaw is written is sufficient, and withdraw my proposal. Or I won't be voting in favor.
Okay, moving on.
So,
okay, well,
does anybody want to make a motion to vote on the proposed amendment the way it's written and the way we have it printed and sent out to us?
I move that we vote to approve or unapprove by I move that. Let's back up and start all over.
Okay.
I move that we vote on whether or not to send out the proposed amendment to the bylaws to the membership.
Well, if he's rescinding it, is there a reason to do that? Just to take it off him?
Well, I think we need to have it in the meeting minutes that we discussed it and a decision was made.
I agree.
Okay. I'd like more discussion just for a second, please, or input.
Okay.
I'd like to take this back, and I want to have a little bit of time before the next meeting to look at my notes and find the notes about the discussion I had with Bruce Jenkins on this before we remove it from the table, please.
Is there any objection to that?
I don't think
so. Seeing no objection, we'll put that on the agenda for next month's meeting, Joy.
Okay.
That'll be fine.
Okay, thank you.
And I reserve the right to change my opinion, too.
We all do, yes.
All right. Well, I think that was a heartfelt discussion, and I appreciate everybody's openness. It's a difficult one, and I think we did it justice to talk about it, though, and I think we all feel more informed. And so let's go on to special assessments for a new salary offer for manager's position. Here's my question for Mariah or whoever's been. I would like to just clarify in my own mind who volunteered and who is on our committee to select a new caretaker. Barry?
It's the three of us.
Chris?
John Harris.
Okay, so there's four of you. Okay. I want to know, and I haven't read or gone to wherever we're offering this job, what are we at present telling these
present
people we're offering?
We're down to basically the last. There's about
What are we offering them?
$2,500 is the initial. When they get a response back, I talked to Mariah about that. That's correct, Mariah, right?
$2,500 a month?
Once they make an inquiry or respond to a inquiry and she get information back, it tells them that this job starts at $2,500 a month.
Dependent upon experience.
Yeah, on 90-day probation.
And is that what we have been paying in the past?
No, it will.
We got up,
I think,
with Braden's, weren't we up to $3,500?
We're at 33.
So no, we're starting below that, but we need some flexibility to after the 90 days.
And in our budget, how much are we prepared to pay then? The 33?
Correct. Yes.
$3,300 for the year.
$3,300 a month.
Oops.
We've had extensions. I could just speak to that for just a second. We've had extensive conversation among the board members as we've been going through these applicants. Number one, it doesn't seem that the $2,500 a month prohibits any amount. We've had more applications than we want to process through. It's just crazy.
I've noticed that.
The amount of applications that we've had.
Three of the approximately 55 we've received have drawn due to salary.
And if we look to the history of the amount of times that we have to keep replacing our caretaker manager's position, I believe is they get to the point after they've settled in and they can see that, hey, one day my job will be over here and I walk away with nothing, that we don't have any type of incentive for them to continue to stay for 5 years or 10 years.
So do you think incentive is paying them more from the get-go or once the probationary period is over?
We want to incentivize them, or if that's a word even, to stay for longer periods of time. So if I'm working at this job and I started at, say, $2,500 a month and I went a 90-day probation and you said, hey, we like what you're doing, we're going to raise you to $3,000 and we're all going to use this $250 a month, and we're going to put it in some type of a retirement program, and you can match that.
What $250 a month?
Well, the amount that we have budgeted to pay, we actually have $300 that we could additional above and beyond. So at no extra cost, we could say, we'll put this in a savings account for you that you would be 50% vested in 5 years. And so if I work there for 1 year, I've 10 months, let's say, so $250, I have $2,500 a month in the savings account. It's not mine, but it's sitting there. If I stayed for 5 years, I'd get half of that times five. And so.
So do you think that you're feeling that's a good thing, I think, but do you feel like that's the thing that will keep them, or will they still want to walk?
I think people get to a point, well, it depends on everybody is unique and individual, but I think it would give them an incentive to stay for 5, 6, 7, 8 to 10 years. At 10 years, they get everything. And especially if they've been there 3 years. And
so this is something we would negotiate with them after the probationary period.
Right, and something to be discussed among everybody. And that's just a suggestion.
We initially talked, and I think this was initially discussed with the particular, it's going to be dependent on who we actually hire. And so while we can discuss it a little bit, we need to have some flexibility to be able to, once we get the right person in place, to have some upward mobility. I mean, we can't discuss what that's going to be. It's going to be different for different people. Some it's going to be.
And being that this is recorded and going to be on our web page.
Yeah, I think that we just continue through the hiring process and discuss this once we have specifics. We just wanted to make the board aware that we do need to discuss at some time some additional incentives.
So this isn't a definite plan. This is just thoughts that we have.
It just simply thoughts, exactly that we want to try to create an environment that we're protecting and giving incentive for whoever we hire to be long-term employees.
Good for them, good for us.
Exactly right.
All right. Then I don't think we need to even talk any more about any special assessment.
No, I don't think.
Okay, grand staircase boundary evaluation emergency addition to the end. This is where we'll turn some time over to Vance to express to us what came up. Vance got, well, Vance, you do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, is there any of the printed stuff that I sent out available for anybody to look at up there? The county resolution is quite lengthy. I can read it, but, it's completely full of whereases and all kinds of stuff like that.
Hey, Vance, this is Barry. I didn't get a chance this morning to print it off, but I think if we can
send it to a computer, a printer here.
You have it?
I have his email.
You just email it to me, and I'll print it off while he's talking.
Okay. Well,
do you think it's be very beneficial? Then that's what we'll do. We'll get it while you're introducing it.
Yeah, I just don't want to put everybody to sleep by reading a county resolution. This showed up in you can, I don't know how many of you have done it, but you can go to the public meeting notice website for state of Utah, and you can get automatic email notifications of when somebody's going to have a meeting or anything like that that's covered by the public meetings law. So I get this thing, I think it was like last Wednesday, and in it was this really interesting agenda item for the Kane County Commission and I'll read you the title, a resolution declaring Kane County's intent to identify the minimum area necessary for the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. And it's like, well, that's really got my attention. You know, we border the monument.
How can they determine a minimum area? Isn't that a federal thing?
Well, let me finish the description on what's going on. The proposal goes through a lot of reasons why it needs to happen, but the key thing that we need to remember is that at the very end, here's what they, after that, they're stating their reasons why this needs to happen. Here's how they want to proceed. Kane County, along with Garfield County and the state of Utah, will consult with the United States Department of the Interior, BLM, and create mapping that indicates the minimum acreage necessary to protect the antiquities and objects identified and in Presidential Proclamation 6920. Now, 6920 was the Clinton resolution from Proclamation from 96 or 95 or whenever it was. Kane County urges the Utah State Legislature and the Utah Federal Legislative Delegation to support legislative action that will reduce and modify monument boundaries to the minimum area necessary to protect antiquities and objects divided in Presidential Proclamation 6920. So they're pretty clear about they want to reduce the size of the monument and that there's some eventually going to be a map. So I called the county, got transferred to planning and zoning, talked to Mary there, and what the gist of this is that various people feel that there are monument-worthy items in the monument, but a whole lot of land that isn't monument-worthy. She used Grosvenor Arch, which is over by Kodachrome, down, back that way.
Back up. We can't hear you, Van. You just broke up the last three sentences there. Start again on that.
Okay. Where was it? Talking to the representative in planning and zoning, right?
You're still breaking up, Vance.
Okay.
You were going good, and then it started breaking up.
Do some test language here, so see if we until we can hear you again.
Yep. Testing. 1, 2, 3.
No, we don't have you.
Yeah. You got testing 1, 2, 3. No. Hello, Jody, are you hearing me?
Yes, Vance, I hear you just fine. Can the board hear me, or am I breaking up as well?
We can hear you better than Vance.
Okay, let me try it again. Is this any better?
Are you hearing Vance now?
We can hear you. Go ahead and try again, Vance.
Okay, let me test. This is a test sentence. This is a test.
Better now. You're better.
Okay. My guess, you guys are using Wi-Fi, right? Are you?
Vance, would you like for me to just give them a kind of summary of what we've discussed and where things are at?
Well, I kind of wanted to go over the discussion I had with the county because, as far as I know, I'm the only one that's ever talked to him about this.
I actually talked to Dirk a couple days ago and got kind of a summary of what's going on. If you'd like for me to do that, if you want to keep the problem is you keep cutting out.
Let me. How are things now, Barry?
I can hear you right now.
Okay. So short version is that this is actually a flow down of a law that the state passed. Its language is cut and copied from it. But what they want to do is keep specific sections of the monument as monument with the buffer, as yet to be determined, both of these things, and revert the rest of it back to what would be called regular BLM. Does everybody know what regular BLM is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So my purpose for calling them and getting the explanation was, where's the map? we really need to see the map before we can have much of a discussion about this. But of course, the resolution states that that's yet to come. They had a meeting, and I can provide links to all this stuff. They had the meeting on Monday. They basically passed it. The meeting audio was online. A couple other people raised the same thing, the same cart before the horse issue. And how can you pass this without your maps already available? You know? So, you know, my concern is I know several people at the ranch who, having the monument next to us and available to us is a really big deal in capital letters. It means a lot to us to own property so near that place that we can just walk out into it, literally, from our front porch. And tinkering around with it is also a really big deal. So I, you know, got a hold of Barry, got a hold of Phil, made him aware of what's going on. I think the ranch should send a letter to the county indicating our concern that this is happening without taking any sides, because there's no sides to take yet because they haven't made the map, but indicating that we want to be involved in this. We don't want it to just come down the pike and be, you know, a done deal. We want to be involved in it every step of the way, and that means, you know, keeping us in the loop. Maybe you have to expend a little effort on us, you know, keeping us in the loop, working with us. But we got stuff at stake here, you know.
Would they jump back with the map, the new map, maybe include more ranch ground than it?
No, it's restricting. They're trying to shrink the size of the monument, basically.
But only
for particular uses.
Right. Here's the thing. If you revert parts of the monument back to regular BLM, and I'm finding out about this now, but it's my understanding that those regular parts are then subject to oil, gas, and mineral leasing, whereas right now they are not.
That's correct.
That's a big deal, folks. You know, if you listen to the meeting audio, and again, with everybody's permission, I'll put up a web page for everybody's edification. I will not opinionate on this thing. It kind of asked me to, and I am now, but I just want everybody to get informed, get involved. This is a big deal. But at the meeting, there was a lot of people who said, leave it alone. There were some ranchers who said, we need to be able to work on water impoundments and rangeland improvements. And that was their motivation. But right now, remember when we were asked about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, to write letters to the BLM about grazing? Who remembers that?
I do.
And then that whole process is currently still in process and hasn't been decided. And for all we know, may address the ranchers' concerns. You know, again, kind of cart before the horse. They're not waiting for the process to complete. There is a process, and I think it's a good one. It's taking time, as typically government things do. But, you know, let's not jump through the hoops on this thing.
Well, Vance, this is Barry.
In my
opinion, what you propose is that we send a letter to the BLM indicating we want to be part of the process and we want to be kept aware each step of the way of what's happening. And I think that that's exactly what we need to do. The branch membership may have an opinion one way or the other, but we need to stay informed. And so I would support and make a motion that we have a letter put together that's Vance's draft one, where we just indicate to the county that we want to be kept in the loop and we want to know what's happening along the way so that we can be informed.
Yeah, just to make one quick correction.
One quick correction.
Yeah, you said sent a letter to the BLM, Barry, and it's actually to the county.
Yes, I corrected myself the second go around. The letter would go to the county, as stating that we want to be kept in the loop and informed as to what's going on out there. And so I've made a motion, and Brad seconded it, that we send a letter to the county letting them know that and try to stay as informed as possible.
Okay, with that caveat, then all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, one more
right,
item.
Passes.
Good. The one other item I ask is that I need
more than the lots of boundary.
He's trying to talk to us.
Yeah. One more thing, and I'll let it rest. And you guys can read the printed stuff. And along those lines, I'm also requesting that we put up, you know, similar to the page that we put up for the forest, the controlled burn coming.
We're not getting it. You've fallen out of disfavor again. I don't know if you changed your position or what, but
okay.
You're breaking up too much.
All right. How is it now?
Better.
Okay. I'll keep it quick. Can I please have permission to put up an informational web page similar to the one about the controlled burn that's coming?
You want another letter?
No. Web page. I want to put a web page.
You want
the website?
Oh, you want to initiate a website about that?
No,
I think that's an excellent idea.
Just a page on our website, Phil.
Yeah.
I think I'll make a motion that Vance can put a link on our website so that people can get more information on this process.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Cody?
Aye.
All right. So I won't take any more of your time. There's quite a lot to wade through. I'll get the website up as quickly as possible, and you can inform yourselves from there.
Vance, I handed out a copy of the meeting packet, including the resolution, to everybody here. So they've got that to review after the meeting.
Okay. And you have a copy of the letter as well, so...
Okay, let's go on to number four here. Unless you guys want to have a 5 to 10 minute break, or should we just keep going for right now? Everybody been taking a break?
Let's
keep going then. Okay, Barry?
Okay, I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes. I sent out, or Mariah sent out a copy of the equipment lease that we proposed to use. There was some discussion from Joe as to whether we really wanted to lease the equipment, and I got a response from Phil. I think it's helpful that we offer or make available the lease of the equipment to the members with the lease agreement. I need to add one thing that Mariah suggested, which makes perfect sense, and that is they fill out credit card information at the same time that they sign the thing, so they say, this is when I want it, these are the dates, this is the amount, and here's my credit card number and sign, so that we have all the information we need to charge them without having to go back later and bill them. I think that you can't rent a car these days, you can't rent equipment without putting a credit card number on the line, so we ought to do the same thing. I assume you have the ability to run credit cards.
Yes, I do.
So,
sorry to interject, I just have one other item that I think along those lines that came up with what I talked about with Jody. There's nowhere on here to record fuel usage for this or any agreement as far as fuel goes.
I did get some corrections or some suggestions from Jody. I haven't looked at them, but one of those, you're correct, it needs to say it's going to be picked up. It should say it's going to be picked up full and returned full. The problem is that our equipment isn't always full. So I think we put that in there and require them to return it full, and they have to check before they take it to make sure it's full. So
how do they return the fuel? How do they return it full if the only fuel out there in that area is ours?
They have to make arrangements to either buy fuel from us or go get it in town in a 5-gallon bucket. That's not really our problem.
So that would be a thing. Can we then?
We can fill it up with our
tank. Can we fill it up at our tank and we be in charge of estimating how many, unless our thing reads it, how many gallons went in there?
I assume our headers.
Brent said it reads gallons. Yeah. I think he told me before it did. Yes.
Yeah. So they would. I would leave that up to the manager or operator, because in this case we're only going to let people we know operate the equipment and just make arrangements. But the agreement itself needs to say pick it up full and return it fuel.
Correct.
So with that change, I don't know. Normally, I wouldn't call for a vote on accepting that form because I think it's just a form. But do you want clarification that we've adopted that form as changed?
I would. I never heard this.
Okay, then I'll make a motion that we adopt the equipment lease as presented with the change that will add credit card ordering and credit card information and indicate that the equipment has to be returned full of fuel. And with those changes that we adopt that as our current form.
I second.
Just input, please.
Okay.
On that, that's number 8, return of the equipment part. I made a note on there that we should add, prior to return, member must inspect the equipment and verify it is returned in the same condition as it was rented, refilled with gas, and relubed as necessary. Did we not want them relubing that when they brought it back, before they brought it back?
I've got the lube part in another section. I know. I remember putting it in there specifically.
I must have missed.
Make sure it's fuel. And there's another section that says that they will return the equipment in the same condition they received it, normal wear and tear accepted. So I'm happy to – my motion includes making those changes.
Okay. Thank you, Barry.
How do you vote, Jody?
Yes.
So you vote yes? Okay. So the matter passes.
Okay. Rules and regulations we've talked about several times, and I think that we've accepted my proposal to make a consolidation and resend those.
Yes.
So we can skip that. Well, I'm on the wrong place. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong line.
4Bs.
I'm going to skip B because I want to have that last. Returns of tools and equipment. I talked to Paul a little bit just because we need to have Paul, and I just report to you, I've engaged Paul to do the water testing because I can't get anybody else up there, and because we have to have it done in February. And last time we talked, then 10% of my budget allocation I could use, but we had to get on this, so I've instructed him to go ahead and do some testing.
So
now, with that being said, and he was happy to do it. We also discussed the equipment that he has, and he apologized that there must have been a miscommunication. But he's ready and willing to return the truck, the trash trailer, the saw, and the splitter as soon as we want him to. He said, what should I have done? I said, well, it's water under the bridge, and I'm not sure I know exactly, but let's make sure that we get that back. Because if we were to loan, if any one of us were to loan equipment to any other non-member, then I think we'd get our toes stepped on very quickly. So I think we need to get, and I told them there's snow up there right now, but sometime in the next few weeks, we either need to pick the equipment up or have them returned. I'm okay with either one.
And when was Brent coming back?
15th of March.
15th. So we got a month. And maybe till then, till we have.
Brent to receive it.
What's that? So I propose that we do that as far as getting things done. And then next thing is ongoing relationship with Brayton's. Brayton's are great people, and I don't know them that well, so I won't, you know, I think that they're fine. They've been willing to work and help out. But we need to, as in any business I run, whenever an employee is no longer an employee, there needs to be a line drawn that says, okay, unfortunately, for whatever reason, you're not here anymore.
Okay.
And we need to clearly establish the member non-member relationship in a non-offensive way as possible. But we need to be clear. We're responsible for the equipment and assets of the ranch, and I think we need to say, okay, from here moving forward, that any request or anything, any interaction needs to be discussed by the board. That way, we don't have the miscommunications we've had in the past. Brady's has been great, but they're no longer our employees. We can't impose on them, and they shouldn't be imposing on for borrowing stuff. That's
so when you tell them about taking the equipment back, you could do that.
Yes. Right? Yep. I just wanted to be clear. I know that we feel like, and they've done a great job. No, taking anything away from there, but we need to establish boundaries so that we don't have people getting offended or problems happening or liability on with use of equipment and that kind of stuff.
Problem with getting the equipment back was the weather, the
Yes, both conditions are terrible.
I would suggest we not have him bring it back until Brent's there and Brent can inspect it. As he,
and I think that's perfect. That's what I told him. I said, just hold on right now. We'll figure it out. We do need to get that situation resolved and unwound. I'm not offended or upset. I just want to have it done so that we have, the, like I said, established clear boundaries. Okay.
Are we paying him for taking the water?
Yes, he's agreed to do the water sampling on a monthly basis for $100 a month, and I verified with him that if it has to be retested, that's on him, and he that includes him taking it to St. George or Cedar City rather than taking it to Kanab so that they can retransport it somewhere else. So that's included. And I told him that's what we'll do for now.
Thank you for clarifying.
So I think we tried a couple of others because I wanted to get some bids. Just he asked me, is that fair? I said, I don't know. I've never done it before. And I tried to get information from two or three. Vance helped me as well. And Vance made contact with a couple of. We either didn't get a response or we got a response. I'm busy. So we did the best we could, and I made a decision to get it done. So if anybody wants to kick me under the table, then you're welcome to.
Now, yeah. Brent made a comment to me that there's a gentleman that lives in Johnson Canyon area that does go up, and he does take samples for some of the ranchers, two or three or four of them, and he might be willing to include us in his group, and that way one guy can do it for four people. We might get a lower rate. We haven't made contact yet.
We've left the door open with Paul just saying, let's get it done for right now. Mark Fisher does it. And there's at least two or three others, and we contacted the Water Conservancy to say, do you have any suggestions, just to get some ideas of what it costs, and everybody said, I'm too busy, don't bother me. So, plus, for this testing, we're going to have somebody actually knows where the pipes are, so I'd have to send Larry out or somebody to dig the snow out of the way. Anyway, I made the decision, hopefully everybody's okay with it. And it's something we can terminate anytime we need to. But I think if the job's done, unless we find something that's a lot less expensive, then I'm okay with it. All right, cabin occupancy, we're going to take that off, Mariah. And we've talked a little bit about accounting. We want to identify the costs of each cabin and those kind of things. I want moving forward, and I don't know that we can retroactively do it. I want to know how many days cabin one was occupied this summer. Because I want to know if cabin, you know, if the garden cabin's empty all the time, or if it's full all the time, or if we're at 75% capacity. And so I think we need to work on a way to do that. We couldn't figure it out by this meeting to make a proposal of this is how we're going to do it. Hopefully we can do that maybe next meeting. But before the cabins open for the season, then I'd like to just figure out a way so that we know whether we're at 25% occupancy or 100% occupancy. Just so we can, as a board, can make decisions on repairs, use, cost, all those kind of things. Last thing, and that goes along with reservations.
Comment.
Yes.
So I rent this, reserve the cabin for my week, and we spend 3 days in it, 4 days that nobody was in the cabin. Are you trying to keep track of that also?
Not necessarily, no.
Just the weeks that it's been
I want it to be handled along with the reservations, just so we're marking on a calendar when they're reserved for. If the cabin, if you reserve it for a week, but the weekend you don't stay there, I don't care about day by day. I just want to general, because I don't think any of us knows, or, you know, are the cabins 90% booked or are they 25% booked? I think they're closer to 90, but I don't know. Does that make
input.
Sense?
Yeah, input, please.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, I did a report like that in 2011, Barry, so it's going to be old data. But from just an overview of it, I didn't get percentage rates, but what I did was I took a calendar and I marked through every week that each cabin was booked, so I'd kind of know who was being booked the most, because I think that was the focus at that time. And actually, in 2011, cabin one was booked every day from May 18th to October 14th. So that's full capacity for that one. The garden cabin was booked full from May 1st through October 26th. So I'm thinking, you know, and this is based on people booking it for the whole week. It didn't take into account people that book it for the week and only stay 3 days. So that was a high one. I've got, looks like cabin Those are our two biggest ones. I've got a list of all the cabins for that summer. If you'd like a copy, I can fax that to you. But it looks like, you know, we've grown every year since then, so I'm sure Cabin 1 is – are you seeing this, Mariah, Linda, that Cabin 1 is being booked through the whole summer and the garden cabin mostly as well?
Yes, and I would say that finding out that report from here on out will be as simple as printing a screenshot.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I just want us to start keeping it again so that we have current information. 2011 doesn't help me much. I think we need to know on a, you know, for the annual meeting time, you know, how much we're using and how much it's booked and how much it's not. So anyway, we'll work on that and figure out how to do that. Last thing, hiring new ranch managers. You guys, either one of you want to take the lead on that, or you want me to just update everybody on where we're at? We received, I'm going to say, 60 or 70 applications. Some were rejected right off the top. A lot of them didn't have any skills or experience we were looking for, but we have narrowed it down basically to four or five couples, one of which we met with yesterday. And during the hiring process, as far as where we're at, any one of these four or five couples could do the job very well, have experience and are willing to learn and do things differently. They all know what the salary expectations are. At this point, we need to move forward with having interviews of the other two or three, but I don't know that I want to report what our findings were on something that's going to be on the website. But the process is going very well, but we need to make a decision in the next couple of weeks, I think, as to who we're going to hire and get the process done so that they can get in place and start moving in and making arrangements as soon as snow allows so that we can be up and running. So we have great applicants. We will process the other interviews as quickly as possible, but rest assured, if all the others fall in a hole, then we have somebody already that's applied that we've met with that should certainly do the job. So
that's the one you met with yesterday.
Yep. And they weren't even on my top three list. So that means that they performed very well in the interview, much better than I expected. So anything you guys want to add?
I think everybody realizes the nature of the beast as far as being on the ranch. The job offer that we offer, an 8,000-acre ranch in the underneath Bryce Canyon in the heart of all this beauty, is something that 90% of the people that you'd ever talk to would be interested in, but it's a different animal when it comes to living on the ranch full time and being there and being able to accept that job and do it. So that's probably my biggest fear, is that even though we have great applicants, they're not going to work out in the end because of the circumstances that, you know, and the demands that a rural existence requires. So that being said, I hope that we move forward on in a rapid basis, because we have only a certain amount of time to fix up the ranch and get it ready for us to be opening again. And somebody starting, the later they start, the more handicapped they are in trying to function at a acceptable level by the beginning of the year that we open the cabins.
So do you have a target date?
I prefer to get somebody as soon as they can get in there.
Well, I'm going to say a drop dead date. There needs to be.
We'll have the interviews done, and we'll have a recommendation to the board through email, I think, by the end of February. Hopefully sooner than that. We're at the 10th right now. That would give us a couple of weeks to do interviews and recommend. And once we make the recommendation, after the time we put in, hopefully that will be acceptable to the board and we can get it done and get them in place March 1st.
Let me interject one thing that might make it seem a little easier. I would like to propose moving the board meeting next month up 1 week. And that way it'll make it only 3 weeks from now. And the reason being is, in this area,
spring break.
Spring break. In my practice, I've tried working or not, I have a lot of staff that all have kids. They're all begging me not to work. I tried working last year. It was a waste. Nobody came either. They all went on their
side. Day is our board meeting, next board meeting scheduled for?
11th. I would like to do it on the 4th because I said, okay, I'm not going to work and I'm going to go with my wife on a little vacation and I won't be in town. So I'll be in Mexico. So I'd like to see if it's possible with the rest of you to move it 1 week forward, and that will fit in a little better with our selection of our caregivers.
I don't have a problem with moving it to the 4th.
I'd be happy.
And we can have it here if you'd like or wherever. We're not going to make it into the ranch to have it there, I can tell you that.
No, I was going to suggest you can have it at my house if you'd like. So 10 o'clock like we did, is there anybody that couldn't do that or that would impose a problem? Okay, that's my little
interview. Any objection? You guys good to go?
Yeah, we do have any objections.
We're okay.
So here?
This is a nice place to have.
It's easy, yeah.
My place is a little more on chairs.
There's no peacock screaming here.
Yeah. I'm happy to have it here, and we can grab some snacks. And
Is the time good, or do you want to start earlier, and then we could have a little picnic at my place afterwards?
10 o'clock works for me because I usually have things to take care of in the morning.
10's fine with me, too. Everybody good on that? Okay, yeah, especially if you're coming over. Okay.
Okay.
And carry on.
What exactly did you decide on just now? I'm writing it down.
Okay, the next board meeting will be on the 4th, Saturday the 4th, in St. George, here at Barry's offices again at 10 o'clock.
Got it. Thank you.
Did the committee want to ask Mariah to write something on the application program that you have going for ranch managers to have her write something to say it's stopped, it's done, it's over?
I'll speak for myself. I'm done looking at applications.
Okay.
With where we are, we need, if you publish something or send something out, whatever, just say no further applications being accepted or something.
That sounds fine. Conveniently, we're at the end of the subscriptions that I signed up for anyway, so we should be. I'm noticing a very steep decline.
I don't want to spill, but yeah.
And you save all of those, right?
I have everybody, whether they have been rejected or not, yeah. So we can go back through and review everybody.
Make sure that we save
should
all of
you
those
want
in,
to.
In case we need to go back through it a further day.
I think the board should know, the rest of you, if you haven't received all the paperwork, but Mariah has done an exemplary job in putting a spreadsheet together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she put a spreadsheet out and remarkable.
Everything. Yeah, it is a wonderful follow-through. For knowing that the hours that I know these three men have put in reading them all and communicating with each other, I think it's a process that works well, and I want to compliment Mariah and Brad and Joe and the young man down the other end.
And John.
And yeah, John, absolutely.
I'm sorry for that. Yep, so
I think we're ready to move forward, and that's all I've got for today. Oh, I did revise the beehive lease that I handed out to each one of you. I shortened it significantly. I didn't get any specific feedback from anybody, but I think I know what the considerations were. We don't need to talk about it today, but we need to know by next meeting whether we want to adopt that form or not.
Okay, Brad.
Okay. As far as agriculture and is concerned, we had a November 20th deadline that needed to be met for us to qualify to get into the ranking part of that to be able to participate. Now, of course, that's through our leasee, Doug Hunt, which to make available to our ranch up to 40,000. $689.03 possibility of getting additional funds, which would be share funding, in different areas, not only herbicides to control things, but replanting, fencing, possible solar and piping to and putting in water troughs. So unless anybody has any other questions on that, we don't know if we rank on that or we'll be able to move forward on that, or we'll just be back to 100% on our own as
okay.
far as.
Yeah, I do. I don't understand it at all. So you're saying what's the $40,000 figure is?
We developed the ranch plan with in conjunction with
county?
The Conservation Service.
Okay.
And with what we wanted to do to forward our ranch plan, then we wanted to work in as many different areas as we can. The more areas that we apply for money in, the more likely they are
yes,
to fund the money. So if we can apply for areas in fencing, and we can apply for areas in weed control, and we can apply for monies in solar things.
And that's what the $40,000 represents. What we
exactly. So, and if we're approved for that, or if I should say, if our leasee is approved for that, and then we would be working with him to facilitate improvements in all those areas on the ranch. But it actually runs through. The only way to get it was to have him jump through all the hoops to sign him up to be, you know, in the running for appropriating any of those funds for our ranch.
Okay.
So we've been working in conjunction with our leasee to improve our ranch to the tune of $40,000 if we could put it all together in our favor. And for example, they pay 78%, you know, 78 cents on the dollar for killing off and being rid of our rabbit brush in our heavy areas. Depending on the level of density of rabbit brush, they pay different percentages, and every year changes. So that was kind of figures off of last year's. So it was just kind of estimated amount of money that they would put toward that, but it should be pretty close.
So are we obligated in any way then, unless we accept it, then we pay the copay?
Right. We have no obligations unless we continue to pursue that money for benefits of our ranch.
Cool.
And there's no, you know, we don't have to use that money. That'd be a 4-year period of time. If we can't budget enough money to pay our share of that, we have up to 4 years to make those improvements. Yeah, at the same time, again, this year we could apply for more funding for the following year if we have other projects that come up. So it's a win-win-win situation for everybody involved if we can access that money to help improve in our ranch in all areas. So, do we need to update anything as far as our minutes are concerned?
Well, I think we ought to have a formal vote that we authorize. Let me make a motion. I move that we authorize Brad to continue to work with the lessee to maximize the amount of money that's available to us for ranch improvements, including fencing, weed removal, and those kind of things. Again, recognizing we don't have any obligation to use it, but we have a period of time, and it's free money. I mean, granted, we'll have to come up with our share, and we'll have to figure out how to do that, but I don't see any reason not to, and the more we apply for and are involved, the more likely we are to get some. And have it as an ongoing, this is at least right now, the program's continuing. So I would move that we authorize Brad to negotiate that, and subject to, you know, final funding approval through an additional vote of the board. So
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Jody?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Very good. Okay.
Yeah, unless there's any other questions, and the bees are going to be coming in sometime in March, if the weather permitting. I talked to those guys, you know, back in November, and I'll try to contact them again. Now I have a lease agreement that we can email to them, and so they can get it into Mariah. And if there's any additional areas that they're going to put the bees in, I think we've already decided that we needed to discuss that as a board and approve any new areas that they go into. So they'll just be, bees will be going back where the bees were.
Okay. Any other input from board members on their areas, like Joe or Jeff here?
My items were already covered.
Okay, Joe?
Just a couple things. The maintenance, all the cabins are painted. We need to get them painted on the inside. That's going to be a project I want to get done this year, is paint them inside as much as we can. And I want to get cabin 3. I think Paul had purchased all the rain gutters that we came up with for the one side of cabin 3 to protect the water from washing the dirt back under the cabin. So we need to get that rain gutter installed so no more damage happens there. So that's going to be hopefully a major project. And then the last one I've got is my cabin. I put that concrete wallboard from the cabin down 6 inches into the ground and backfilled it on both sides. So water goes around my cabin. Mice don't go under my cabin. Therefore, rattlesnakes don't go under my cabin. And I'd like to do that to all the
cabins. Do you go under your cabin?
Excuse me?
Do you go under your
cabin? Oh, yeah, I go under it all the time. Yeah, I got my batteries underneath there, and I've got a trap door and a lock. And yeah, I got equipment under there and all my plumbing. But the rattlesnakes go where the mice are, and the mice go under the cabins because it's a place to keep dry. So there's no wind going under there, no water. I have not even had a mouse under my cabin for the last 7 years. I got traps, I got food. Nothing's ever set off. The food's never eaten. So if we can stop that, we'll make the kids safer, too, in cabin 7 and 8, because if a snake comes out from under a cabin and the kid's playing alongside of it. So that's my goal, is to try to get that concrete wallboard, because it lasts forever. It doesn't deteriorate, and I think we could help keep the mice problem down in the cabins. I don't know what it all is going to cost, because some cabins are pretty high off the ground, and the board's got to be this way versus this way, because they're 3 foot by 5 foot. So it'll take more on some and less on others. So, but that's what I'd like to get done. And as soon as we hire a new manager, we'll see how up to speed he is on everything else, and we'll start doing some of that. That's about all I got.
Okay, great. Okay, so we know what our next meeting is. And so thank you all for being here and all of your input. And I think that was well worth being here. So with that, we will stand adjourned.
I second the emotion.